ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സബിദാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച. വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ. സരസ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി നമ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി ഇതി നാമിനെ ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവിദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയേ കൃഷ്ണ സംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമ. ഉജ്ജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗ ഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ. നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദീനധാരിണി രൂപാനുഗ വിരുദ്ധാവ സിദ്ധാന്തധ്വാന്തഹാരിണി. നമോ ഗൗരകിശോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ. നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനി ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനോഗവരായതേ. ഗൗരാവിഭവഭൂമേ സ്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജ്ജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവസാർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമഃ. വാഞ്ചകൽപദരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യയേവ ച പതിതാനാം ഭാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യ നാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വശേ നമഃ. പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാത്വികം. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാ കാന്ത രാധാ കാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. ജയതാം സുരതോ ബാംഗോർ മമം മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാം ഭോജോ രാധാ മദനമോഹനോ. വൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദോ ശ്രീമന്ദരത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാശീല ഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാലിമി സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി. ശ്രീമന്ദാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷൻ വേണുസ്വനേ ഗോപേ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രീയസ്തുനാഹ. തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതം ഭഗവതം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി. സ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധി ഉല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ. പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത്. വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജലാഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല. അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ. പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജക്കലിമലപ്രധ്വംസിനശ്രേയസേ കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗവദൈർ ക്രമ ഉപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So we started Ekadasha Skandam yesterday, and in the first chapter, yad yadava kulam aho avishakhyam aste, you will see one line there on the third verse. Yadyadavakulam aho avishakhyamaste. That Krishna decided to destroy his own race. Because once I leave this world, Krishna felt, once I leave this world, they will become more proud and become very destructive here. So Krishna is Kala Swarupam, isn't it? Time personified is Krishna Kala Swarupam. If you remember in the 10th canto, externally as time. Yeah. So, only Krishna has to decide something, it happens. It happens that way. Therefore, Krishna's this creation, maintenance, dissolution, everything is Krishna Sangalpam, that is. Krishna decides, thought, thinks something, it happens in that way. So, so therefore this happened. This happened. What was that? What happened? Parikshit, it says to Parikshit that it so happened once instance, according to Krishna's desire, these rishis came that way. Came to Dwaraka. All these rishis. Mention the list. Vishwamitra, Asida, കണ്ണു മഹർഷി ദുർവാസാവ് ഭൃഗു അംഗിരസ് കശ്യപ വാമദേവ അത്രി വസിഷ്ഠ നാരദ ദാറ്റ് ലിസ്റ്റ് ഇൻ ദി യു കൻ സീ ദ 11th വേഴ്സ് ആൻഡ് ദ വർ പാസിംഗ് ത്രൂ സംഹോ ദി അദർ ഇറ്റ് സോ ഹാപ്പൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണസ് ചിൽഡ്രൻ ഫെൽറ്റ് ലൈക്ക് വി ഷുഡ് ഹാവ് എ ലിറ്റിൽ ഫൺ വിത്ത് ദം ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ദ വേ ഹൗ കൃഷ്ണ ടേൺസ് പീപ്പിൾസ് ഹെഡ് ഇൻസൈഡ് വെൻ ഹി വാണ്ട്സ് ടു ഡിസ്ട്രോയ് അസ് He will change our way of thinking and make us to create that kind of mood inside. So what they did, they dressed Samba, Jambavati's son. Samba has a little bit feminine looks. So they dressed him like a girl, pregnant girl, and brought him in front of him. And then they, in a very humble, who says they were, you can look at the words. Paprachu avinita vinidavat. No humility inside, but as though we're very humble. In such a way, and this goes to these rishis and says to them, if you could tell us whether the child which this young girl is going to have will be a boy or a girl, that was the question. And rishis, they know both in and out, everything, isn't it? They know the past, they know why all this is happening. So, all they said was, Musalam Kulanashanam. He will deliver a baby which will be a Muslim. And that will destroy your whole race. Musalam Kulamasha. You can see in the 16th verse. Janaishadivo Manda Musalam Kulamashanam. Musalam will be delivered as the baby and it will become the destructive force in your whole race. Whole Yadava race will be destroyed by that. Musalam Kulamashanam. And saying that the rishis left, they didn't say. When they have packed so many things on the belly of Samba, they removed everything and looked inside, there is a little piece of iron. And that has grown big. Suddenly it grew big. And when it started getting bigger, they start getting worried. Why is this happening? And here, you shouldn't ask any question, logic. Logic has no value in all these things. So, just like if you compress a spring, how it gets expanded back to its normal position. In the same way, this huge piece of metal or musalam, they took it to the king, Ugrasena. And they brought it to Ugrasena and told him that this has come from Samba's belly. Samba has had this baby. And what can be said? So, and rishis have told us that with this, the whole race will come to an end. And to an end like that. Ugrasena says, don't worry about it. We can sort this out. But don't mention this to Krishna. That's what Ugrasena is saying. Look at how his head is gone. So, if anybody, we discussed yesterday, that if Krishna wants to destroy something, he doesn't have to come and do it himself. From inside, he can turn our way of thinking in the wrong direction and act in the wrong way. So Ugrasena decided that better not to discuss this with Krishna, and he brought some blacksmiths and told them to make it into powder, and by filing them, make them into small powder and put them into the ocean, into the sea, and there was a small piece still left which they threw it away. So, and a fish ate that piece of metal, what was left. And when the fishermen caught hold of that fish, they saw this piece of metal inside that. And that was later on taken out by a hunter and used it as a to make the arrow for his bow. So, therefore, Bhagavatam says there, Kalarupyanyamodada. How time takes its own course and develop things in such a way, when the end is meant to happen, it will come. That, Kalarupyanyamodada. At this point, Krishna has thought that Bhagavata Dharmam, which is going to be spoken now, will become useful for this world. This was Krishna's Sangalpam inside. So, and you can see that only when you know that things are going to go wrong and life is going to change, destruction is going to come in life, everything is going to get upset, only then you will think about life seriously. Otherwise, as long as it's going smoothly in this world, you don't bother, you say everything is fine, things are getting on normal. In that mood, that is the way Maya works. But only when you are put into serious difficulty and you know that the end is going to happen any moment from this world, life is over here and we are leaving this place, it's at that time you take Krishna consciousness seriously. That's when you become very conscious of it, aware of the whole situation. And that is when you will start taking these instructions in the Bhagavatam a little seriously. Otherwise you won't. Otherwise it will be like a subject you will study and leave the book in the shelf. But when you are exposed to the danger of death, old age, and situations like that, and you know very well the time has come to leave this world, it's at that point that you become a little bit serious about Krishna consciousness. So, Krishna could see up to this point, Bhagavata Dharmam, even his own parents have not taken it seriously. Vasudeva and Devaki even hasn't taken it seriously. And therefore, Krishna felt that it was Krishna Sangalpam inside, that Narada Maharshi should go and talk to them about this. And unusually, that Narada Maharshi goes there, Devaki and Vasudev started instructing Bhagavata Dharmam to Vasudeva and Devaki. Quite an unusual thing. Narada Maharshi used to visit Dwaraka very often. Never before Vasudeva and Devaki has asked anything about it before to them. Such a topic was never discussed before. About death, life after death, things were never discussed because everything was wonderful in Dwaraka. So now what you can see here in the Bhagavadam is two discussions, very important discussions, Nimi and Navayogi Samvadam, Krishna and Uddhava Samvadam. In both, there is only one topic discussed, Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma, that is what is discussed. And that is Ekadasha Skandam. And the Ekadasha Skandam is considered to be the last prasadam from Krishna to anybody who is studying Srimad Bhagavatam. The prasadam from Krishna. And so with that, we will go through the second and third chapter. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dvitiyodhyaya Shri Shukavaja Govindabhaja Guptayam Dwaravatyam Kurudvaha Avalsil Narado Vishnam Krishna Upasana Lalasa Koni Rajan Indriyavan Mugunda Charanam Bhujam Napajet Sarvado Mrityu Upasam Amarottamai Tam Ekadadu Devarshim Vasudevo Grihagadam Archidam Sukamasinam Abhivadyetam Abravil Vasudeva Uvacha Bhagavan Bhavado Yatra Sustaya Sarvadehinam Krapananam Yathapitra Uttama Shlokavarpanam Bhudanam Devajaritam Dukhaya Sukhaya Ja Sukhaya Vahi Sadhunam Twadasham Achyudalpanam Bhajandiye Yatha Devan Devam Abhita Devadhan Chayeva Karma Sajiva Sadhavo Dina Valsalaha Brahmam Sadavi Prachramo Dharman Bhagavadam Stava Yashtu Ashadayo Bhaktyo Muchade Sarvado Bhayan Aham Kilaburanandam Prajarto Mukti Bhumuktidam Abujayam Namokshaya Mohido Devamayam Yadavitra Vesan Bhavadir Vishado Bhayan Muchi Mehandasaivata Atathana Shadi Suvrata Shri Shuvaja Rajanayam Kala Prashnavas Devena Dhimada Pridastha Mahadeva Shri Hare Samsmari Doguni Narada Vaja Samega Divasidam Bhavada Satodar Shaba Yat Prachase Bhagavadan Dharmastum Vishabhavanan Shudo Nibadu Dhyana Adrudo Vanima Odida Sadhyapanadi Sadharmo Deva Vishudruho Bihi Toya Parayalyanam Punyashavana Girtana Smari Do Bhavanatya Devo Narayano Mama Atra Udaharandimam Itihasam Viradanam Ashabanam Yasambhadam Videhasya Mahalpana Priya Brado Namasudo Manu Swayambhavasya Dasya Agni Drasado Abhirshabastal Sudasmada Tamahur Vasudevam Shamokshadharma Vivakshaya Avadirnam Sudashadam Tasyasi Brahma Varegam Tesham Mai Bhardo Jeshto Narayana Varayana Vikhyatam Varshameda Dinnam Nabharadam Alpudam Sabukthubogam Tektevam Nargarastapasa Hari Mubasina Stadpadvim Lepheme Janma Vistribhi Tesham Navanavadipa Padayosya Samandada Karmanda Pranedaram Egashi Dev Dujadaya Nava Bhavan Mahabhaga Muneya Arthashamsina Shamana Vadrashana Alpavidya Visharada Kavihari Andariksha Prabhuddha Piparayana Avirhotroda Drumalachamasakkara Bhajana Taede Bhagavadruvam Misham Sasadalpagam Alpano Avidre Yena Pashyando Vajanan Mahim Avyahadeshtaka Dayasura Siddha Sadhya Gandharva Yaksha Naraginara Naga Logan Muktascharandi Munijarana Bhudanada Vidhya Adara Dujagavam Bhunani Kamam Yo Ekadam Nime Satra Vajang Muridrachaya Vidaya Manakshvi Ajanabe Mahalpana Tandrushta Suri Samgashan Mahabhagavadan Rupa Yajamane Gnayo Vipra Sarvaya Vobadastire Videhastana Vipretyana Rayana Varayana Pita Pita Sambhujiyan Chakrayasana Stani Surija Brahmutrobaman Navapa Prasha Brahma Prida Prashaya Avanodrava Videha Vaja Mani Bhagavad Sakshal Parshadan Bhomadi Dusha Vishnu or Bhudani Loganam Pavana and Sharanhi Dulabhavan Shodeho Dehinam Shanabangura Tatravi Dulabhamini Vaigunda Prida Shanam Adamatinium Shivam Prachama Vada Nagasas Mansari Svinshana Dobi Sal Sangashavi Ranganam Dharman Bhagavan Buddha Idina Shodaya Chamaya Prasanna Pravanaya Dasya Tatmanam Apyaja Shri Naradavaja Evam Deni Mitam Prashtavasa Mahatma Pradipuja Bruan Pritya Sadasad Sadasya Rutujam Naba Kaviruaja Mani Gushil Bhamachudasya Pada Ambujo Basana Matranityam Udigna Buddhe Asadal Mahavadishwalpana Yatrani Varta Devi Yeva E Bhagavada Prokta Ubai Halpalabdhaye Anjapum Samidrusham Vidhi Bhagavadan Hidan Yana Sai Narayan Napramadi Garkhijal Dhavan Nimiliva Netrena Skalena Padediha Kayana Vajamana Sendri Erva Bhujalpanava അനുസൃതസ്വഭാവാൽ കരുണീയത്യൽ സകലം പരസ്മൈ നാരായണ ഏതി സമർപ്പയേത്തൽ ഭയം ദ്വിതീയ അഭിനിവേശ ഈശാദമേസ്മൃതി തന്മായയാദോപുതമഭജേത്വം ഭക്തേകേശം ഗുരുദേവനാത്മ അവിദ്യമാനോപ്യോപാധി ദ്വയോ ദ്യാദുർദ്യാ സ്വപ്നമനോരഥാ യഥോ തൽ കർമ്മസങ്കല്പകൽപ്പകം മനോഭുതോ നിരന്ധ്യാദഭയം തദസ്യാൽ ശുണ്യൻ സുഭദ്രാണി രഥാംഗമാണി ജന്മാനി കർമാണി ചെയ്യാനി ലോകീതാനി നാമാനി തദർത്ഥകാനി ഗായൻ വില ജോവിശരേതസംഗ ഏവം മൃതസ്വപ്രേനാമകീർത്യാജാനുരാഗോദിത്തചിത്തമിത്ത ഉച്ചൈ ഹസത്യനോരോ ഔദികായൻ മാധവൻ നൃത്യതി ലോകബാഹ്യ ഖംവായുമഗ്നിം സലിലം മഹീം ചാ ജ്യോതിഷീം സത്വാനിശോദ്രുമാദീൻ സരിൽ സമുദ്രാംശഹരേ ശരീരം മിൽക്കിൻ ജൂതം പ്രണമേ ഇതനന്യ ഭക്തിപരേഷാനുഭവ വിരക്കി അന്യത്ര ജയക്ഷത്രിയമേകാല പ്രപദ്യമാനസേദാശ്രതസ്യ തുഷ്ടി പുഷ്ടിഷതമായ അനുഘാസം ഇത്യച്യുതാം ഗ്രമ്യതോനുവൃത്യാം ഭക്തുർവിരക്തി ഭഗവത്പ്രബോധ ഭവന്തി വൈ ഭാഗവതസ്യ രാജം സ്തതപരാം ശാന്തി ഉപൈതി സാക്ഷാൽ രാജോവാച അത് ഭാഗവതം ബ്രൂയധർമ്മോ യാദൃശോ നൃണാം യഥാചതി അത്ഭ്രൂതി ഏർലിംഗിർ ഭഗവത്പ്രിയ ഹരിരുവാച സർവഭൂതേഷ്യ പശ്യൽ ഭഗവത്ഭാവമാത്മനാഭൂതാനി ഭഗവത്യാത്മന്യേഷു ഭാഗവതോത്തമ ഈശ്വരേതദ്ദദീനീഷു ബാലിശേഷു ദുഷൽസുജ പ്രേമമൈത്രീകൃപോപേക്ഷയ കരോതി സമധ്യമ അർച്ചയാമേവ ഹരേ പൂജാമ്യ ശ്രദ്ധയേ ഹദേ നദൽ ഭക്തേഷു ച അന്യേഷു സമക്ത പ്രാകൃതസ്മത ഗൃഹീത്വാ വിന്ദേരർത്ഥാനി യോന ദ്വേഷ്ടിന കൃഷ്യതി വിഷ്ണോർമായമിദം പശ്യൻ സ വൈ ഭാഗവതോത്തമ ദേഹേന്ദ്രിയ പ്രാണമനോധിയാം യോ ജന്മാപേക്ഷുർഭയദർശകൃശ്രൈ സംസാരധർമ്മയ വിമുഹ്യമാനം സ്മൃത്യ ഹരേർ ഭാഗവത പ്രധാന തകർമ്മകാമകർമ്മ ബീജാനാം യസ്യചേതസി സംഭവ വാസുദേവൈകനിലയ സവൈ ഭാഗവതോത്തമാനായ സ്യ ജന്മകർമ്മഭ്യം നവർണാശ്രമജാതിഭി സജ്ജതേസ്മിന്നഹം ഭാവോ ദേഹേ വൈ സഹരേ പ്രിയാം നയസ്യ സുവരൈ ഇതി വിത്തേഷു ആത്മനി വാ പിതാ സർവഭൂത സമശാന്താ സവൈ ഭാഗവതോത്തമ ത്രിഭുവന വിഭവഹേതപ്യകുണ്ട സ്മൃതിരചിത ആത്മസുരാദിവിയോർ മൃഗയത്ന ചലതി ഭഗവത്പദാരവിന്ദം ലവനിമിഷാർദ്ധമപി യസ വൈഷ്ണവാഗ്രയാം ഭഗവത ഉരുവിക്രമാംഗ്രി ശാഖാനഖമണി ചന്ദ്രികയാ നിരസ്തതാപേ ഹൃതികതമുപസീതതാം പുനഃസ പ്രഭവതി ചന്ദ്രമിവോദിതർക്കഥാപ വിസൃജതി ഹൃദയം നയസ്യ സാക്ഷാധൈഹരി അവശാഭിഹിതോപ്യമഖൗഘനാശാ പ്രണയരശനയാതൃതാംഗ്രിപത്മം സഭവതി ഭാഗവത പ്രധാനമുക്ത ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതി മഹാപ്രാണേ പാരമംസ സമ്പ്രദായം ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധേ ദ്വിതീയോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ തൃതീയോധ്യായ രാജോവാച പരസ്യ വിഷ്ണുരീശസ്യ മായനാം വിമോഹിനീം മായാം വേദിതുമിച്ഛാമോ ഭഗവന്തോ ഭ്രുവന്തന നാദമതുപ്യേജുഷൻ യുഷ്മദ്ജോ ഹരികഥാമൃതം ദസ്വരതാമനിസ്തപ്തോ മർത്യസ്തേഷാപവേഷജം അന്തരീഷോവാച ഏതിർഭൂതാനി ഭൂതാത്മാ മഹാഭൂതിർമഹാവുജസ്രജോചാവജാനിയമാത്രാത്മ പ്രസിദ്ധയെ ഏവം സൃഷ്ടാനി ഭൂതാനി പ്രവിഷ്ട പഞ്ചദാദ്ബി ഏകദാശദാത്മാനം വഞ്ജുഷതയേ ഗുണാൻ ഗുണേർഗുണാൻ സമുഞ്ജാനം ആത്മപ്രദ്യോതിതൈ പ്രഭു അന്യമാനവിധം സൃഷ്ടമാത്മാനമിഹ സജ്ജതേ കർമാണി കർമ്മഭി കുറുവൻ സനിമിത്താനി ദേഹബ്രത് തത്തത് കർമ്മഫലം ഗൃഹണൻ ബ്രഹ്മദീവ സുഖേതരം ഇത്തം കർമ്മഗതി ഗ്രച്ഛൻ ബഹുഭദ്രവാപുവാൻ ആ ഭൂതസംപ്ലവാൻ സർഗപ്രളയാവസ്തുദേവശ ധാതുപ്ലവമാസന്നി വ്യക്തം ദ്രവ്യഗുണാത്മകം അനാധീന്ദനക്കാലോ അവ്യക്തായപകർഷതി ശതവർഷാണാവൃഷ്ടിം ഭവിഷ്യത്തുൽബണാ ഭൂവി തൽക്കാലോപിതാഷ്ടാർക്കോ ലോകാംസ്തിൻ പ്രതഭിഷ്യതി പാതാളതലമാരഭ്യ സംഘർഷണ മുഖാനല ദഹന്നൂർധുശിഗോ വിശ്വ വർദ്ധദേവായി നേരിത സാമർത്ഥകോ മേഘഗണോ വർഷതി സ്മ ശതം സമാഹ ധാരാഭിർഹസ്തിഹസ്താഭിർലീയതേ സലിലേ വിരാട് തഥോ വിരാജം ഉത്സൃജ്യ വൈരാജ പുരുഷോ നൃപ അവ്യക്തം വിശദേ സൂക്ഷ്മം നിരീന്ധനൈവാനല വായുനാഹൃത ഗന്ധാഭൂ സലിലത്വായ കൽപ്പതേ സലിലം തദ്രുതരസം ജ്യോതിഷ്ടായോപകൽപ്പതേ ഹൃതരൂപം തുമസ വായോ ജ്യോതി പ്രലീയതേ ഹൃതസ്പർശോവകാശേന വായുർനഭസി ലീയതേ കാലാത്മന ഹൃതഗുണം നഭ ആത്മനി ലീയതേ ഇന്ദ്രിയാനുമനോ ബുദ്ധിസഹ വൈകാരിക നൃപ പ്രവിശന്തി അഹങ്കാരം സൗഗുണൈ അഹമാത്മനി ഏഷാ മായ ഭഗവത സർഗസ്ഥിത്യന്തകാരിണി ത്രിവർണാവർണിതാസ്മാഭി കിം ഭൂയ ശ്രോതുമിച്ഛസി രാജോവാച യഥൈതാമൈശ്വരി മായാം ദുസ്തരാമകൃതാത്മഭി തരം ദഞ്ജസ്ഥൂലധിയോ മഹർഷൈതമുച്യതാം പ്രബുദ്ധോവാച കർമ്മണ്യാരഭമാണാനാം ദുഃഖഹത്തേ സുഖായ ച പശ്യയിൽ പാകവിപര്യാസം മിഥുനി ചാരിണാം നൃണാം നിത്യാർത്ഥിതേന വ്യക്തേന ദുർലഭേന മൃതാൽ ദുർലഭേനാൽപമൃത്യുന ഗൃഹാപത്യാപ്ത പശുവി കാ പ്രീതി സാധ്യതേശ്ചലേ ഏവം ലോകം പരം വിദ്യാനശ്വരം കർമ്മനിർമ്മിതം സതുല്യാതിശയധ്വം സംവിധാമണ്ഡലവർത്തിനാം അസ്മാകുയം പ്രപദ്യത ജിജ്ഞാസു ശ്രയമുത്തമം ശബ്ദേ പരേജ നിഷാദം ബ്രഹ്മണ്യ വിഷമാശ്രയം തത്ര ഭാഗവതാന്തർമാൻ ശിക്ഷേ ഗുരുവാൽപദേവത അമായയാനുവൃത്യായ സ്തുഷ്യേതാത്മാത്മതോ ഹരി സർവദാ മനസോ സംഗമാദോ സംഗം ജസാദുഷു ദയാം മൈത്രീം പ്രശ്രയം ച ബൂതേഷ്വധ്വായഥോചിതം ശൗചന്തപസ്ഥിതിഷാം ച മൗനം സ്വാധ്യായമാർജവം ബ്രഹ്മചരിമഹിംസാം ച സമത്വം ദ്വന്ദ്സംയോ സർവത്വാത്മീശ്വരാന്വീക്ഷം കൈവല്യമന്നീയത അനികേതതാം വിയുക്തചീരവസരം സന്തോഷം യേനകേചൽ ശ്രദ്ധാം ഭാഗവതശാസ്ത്രേയനിന്ദമന്യത്ര ചാഭിഹി മനോവാക്കർമ്മദണ്ഡം ച സത്യം ശബ്ദമാവപി ശ്രവണം കീർത്തനം ധ്യാനം ഹരേരത്ഭുതകർമ്മണ ജന്മകർമ്മഗുണാനാം ച തദർത്ഥേ അഖിലജ്യേഷ്ഠിതം ഇഷ്ടം ദത്തം തപോജത്വം നൃത്തം യച്ഛാത്മനപ്രിയം ദ്വാരാൻ സുതാൻ ഗൃഹാൻ പ്രാണന്യത് പരസ്മൈ നിവേദനം ഏവം കൃഷാത്മന ആദേശോ മനുഷ്യേഷു സൗഹൃദം
പരിഹരിയാഞ്ചോ ഭയത്രമഹൽസ്യന്നുഷസാദുഷു പരസ്പരാനുഗതനം പാവനം ഭഗവദ്യശസ് മിഥോ നിർമിതി സൃഷ്ടി നിവൃത്തിർമിതമാത്മന സ്മരന്ത സ്മാരയന്നിശ്ചമിതോ അഖൗകഹരം ഹരിം ഭക്ത്യാ സഞ്ജാതയാ ഭക്ത്യാ ബിഭ്രത്യുൽ പ്ലകാം തനം കുചിദ്രുദന്ത്യച്യുത ചിന്തയാ കുചിൽദ സന്ധി നന്ദന്തി വദന്തി അലൗകിക നൃത്യന്തി ഗായന്ത നിശീലയന്തി ജം ഭവന്തി തൂഷ്മിം പരമേത്യ നിർവൃത ഇതി ഭാഗവതാൻ ധർമാൻ ശിക്ഷാൻ ഭക്ത്യാ തദുത്ഥയ നാരായണപരവുമായ അഞ്ചസ്തരതി സ്ഥരാം രാജോവാച നാരായണ അഭിധാനസ്യ ബ്രഹ്മണ പരമാത്മന നിഷ്ഠാമർഹത നോമോക്തം യോ ഹിം ബ്രഹ്മവിത്തമാ പിപ്പലായനുവാച സ്ഥിത്യുഭവപ്രളയഹീദ്രഹീദ്രസേയൽ സ്വപ്നജാഗ്രസുസൃഷ്ടു സൽ ബഹിശ്ചാന്തേഹേന്ദ്രിയാ സുഹൃദയാനി ചരന്തി യേന സഞ്ജീവിതാനി തദവീഹി പരം നരേന്ദ്ര നൈതന്മനുശതിവാഹുരിചക്ഷുതാത്മാ പ്രാണേന്ദ്രിയാണ് ചേതാൻ അലമർച്ചിഷസ്വ ശബ്ദോ വിബോധനിഷേധതയാ ആത്മമൂലം അർത്ഥോഹമാഹ യതുദേ നിഷേധസിദ്ധി സത്വം രജസമിതി ത്രിവിദേകമാതോ സൂത്ര മഹാനഹമിതി പ്രവദന്തി ജീവം ജ്ഞാനക്രിയാർത്ഥ ഫലരൂപതയോരു ശക്തി ബ്രഹ്മയോപാധി സദസച്ചതയോ പരം യൽ ആത്മാജാനമരിഷിതേ സോ നക്ഷീയതേ സവനവിദ്യപുചാരിണാം ഹി സർവത്ര ശശ്വതനവയുവ അവായുവലബ്ധിമാത്രം പ്രാണോ ഭയേന്ദ്രിയബലേന വികൽപ്പിതം സൽ അണ്ടേഷു പേശിഷു തരുഷ അവിനിശ്ചിതേഷു പ്രാണോ ഹി ജീവോപതാവതി തത്ര തത്ര സനേദിന്ദ്രിയഗണേഹമിച്ച പ്രസുപ്തേ കൂടസ്ഥമാശയമൃതേ തദനുസ്മതിർന്ന യർഹ്യബ്ജനാചരണി യർഹ്യബ്ജനാവചരേഷണയോരു ഭക്ത്യാ ചേതോമാനി വിധമേ ഗുണകർമ്മജാനി തസ്മിൻ വിശുദ്ധ ഉപലഭ്യതമാത്മതത്വം സാക്ഷാദ്യത അമലദുഷോ സവിതൃപ്രകാശ രാജോവാച കർമ്മയോഗം വദതന പുരുഷോയേന സംസ്കൃത വിദൂയേഹാശു കർമാണി നിഷ്കർമ്മം വിന്ദതേ പരം ഏവം പ്രശ്നമൃഷീൻ പൂർവം പൃച്ഛം വിദുരന്തികേ നാഭുവൻ ബ്രാഹ്മണപുത്ര ബ്രഹ്മണപുത്രസ്തത്ര കാരണം ഉച്യതാം ആവിർഹോത്ര ഉവാച കർമാകർമ്മ വികർമ്മേതി വേദവാദോന്ന് ലൗകിക വേദസ്യ ജേഷുരാത്മത്വല്ലത്ര മുഹ്യന്തി സൂരയാം പരോക്ഷവാദോ വേദോയം ബാലാനാം അനുശാസനം കർമ്മമോക്ഷായ കർമാണി വിദത്തേ അഗതം ദേഹ നാചരീദ്യസ്തു വേദോക്തം സ്വയംജിതേന്ദ്രിയ വികർമ്മണ അധർമ്മേണ മൃത്യോ മൃത്യുമൃപൈസ വേദോക്തമേ കുർബാണോ നിസ്സംഗോർപ്പിതം ഈശ്വരേ നിഷ്ക്രമ്യ ലഭതേ സ്ഥിതിം രോചനാർത്ഥാ ഫലശ്രുതി യ ആശുഹൃദേ ഗ്രന്ഥിം ഋജിഹീഷു പരാത്മന വിധിനോപചരേ ദേവം തന്ത്രോക്തേന ച കേശവം ലബ്ധാനുഗ്രഹമാചാര്യാൽ തേന സന്ദർശിതാഗമ മഹാപുരുഷമഭ്യർച്ചേ മൂർത്തി അഭിമതയാത്മന ശ്രീസമുഖമാസീനം പ്രാണസംയമനാധിവീപിണ്ടം വിശോദ്യ സംന്യാസം കൃതരക്ഷോർച്ചയെ ധരീം അർച്ചാദോ ഹൃദയേ ചാപി യഥാ ലബ്ധോപചാരയെ ദ്രവ്യക്ഷത്യ ആത്മലിംഗാൻ നിഷ്പാദ്യ പ്രോക്ഷയാസനം പാദാദീൻ ഉപകൽഭ്യാദം സന്നിധാപ്യസമാഹിത ഹൃദാദിവികൃത്യന്യാസോ മൂലമന്ത്രേണ ചർച്ചയൽ സംഗോഭാഗം സുപാർഷതം തഥാ മൂർത്തിം സുമന്ത്രത പാദ്യ അർഖ്യാചാമനീയ ആചമനീയാദ്യേ സ്നാനവാസോ വിഭൂഷണേ ഗന്ധമാല്യാഷദസ്രഗ്ഭി ധൂപദീപപഹാരകേ സാംഗം സമ്പൂജ്യ വിദ്യൽസ്തവേ സുത്വാനമോധനമേധരീം ആത്മാനന്ദമേം ധ്യാൻ മൂർത്തിം സമ്പൂജ്യ എതിരെ ശേഷാമാധായ ശരസി സദാന്യുദ്വാസ സൽക്കൃതം ഏവമന്യർക്കതോയാദിതോഹൃദയേചയീശ്വരമാത്മചിരാമുച്ഛതേ ഹിസ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണി കാശസ്കന്ധേ ത്രയോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി സെക്കൻഡ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഇൻ ദി കാൻറ്റോ 11 ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധം. വൺ ഓഫ് ദ മെയിൻ തിങ് വാട്ട് മേക്സ് എ ജീവ ടു ഗെറ്റ് ഫ്രീഡ് ഫ്രം ദിസ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ ലൈഫ് ദ കോസ് ബിഹൈൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വൈരാഗ്യം. വൈരാഗ്യം ഈസ് ദ മെയിൻ തിങ് ദാറ്റ് മേക്സ് എ പേഴ്സൺ that he wants to leave this place. So, for that purpose, for Vairagyam purpose, that chapter was spoken. What is Vairagyam means? Vairagyam means that to realize that everything is going to be finished one day. One day it's all going to come to an end. Isn't it? So, to become aware of that, that is Vairagyam. Normally we don't live in that way. People say, if you start thinking like that, you can't live, they say. Shastram is telling us, think like this and don't live. This is opposite thinking. If you say this to people, generally they will say, oh, if you start thinking like that, how can we live in this world? But Shastram is saying to us, think like that all the time and be aware of what the reality is, isn't it? So, as long as if we are thinking that this world is permanent and it is meant for me to enjoy, if this consciousness is there, then Vairagyam will never come to that person. It will never happen to him. But once he starts thinking, it's all going to finish one day, where is the doubt about that? Where is the doubt that this is going to finish one day? Because that is why that chapter is talking about. Krishna's family, Krishna's race itself, you will never see a race like this in the history anywhere, like Krishna's race.
Yadavas and that family, what they had. Such a powerful family life it was. 16,108 wives, 10 children, grandchildren, their family members. Altogether, that race was a very powerful race on this planet at that time. And through wealth and through their power and their intelligence and all their good qualities, in every way, you won't see a race more powerful than that, what Krishna's family was. And once Krishna decided that they should also be destroyed, the whole thing went underneath the water. Is it not? So that is the way it is. It is to show to us, if this is the reality about Krishna's family, what about we and our so-called family? What is its real? How real that is? What is its? How solid that is? If Krishna's family was so powerful and such a, in all aspects, on the top, and that's such a family, if Krishna decided that it should be destroyed, what about families of ordinary people? So, they used to say that 10,000 elephants, which are fully in charge, that was the strength of each of those Yadavas who were in Krishna's family. And where is that all that power gone? Where did that all go? So, if Krishna's family and family history is like this, if it gets going to get destroyed like this, what about us who think about a small piece of land in this earth? or some property, or our little health, what we have got with us, and to think that this is all going to be permanent. Is there anything more foolishness than that? Isn't it? So, if you think like this, what will happen is, the mind will become a little loosened up. You won't feel that tense all the time. Oh, this is all mine, I have to hold on to this in this world. You will become more relaxed about it, that it's all going to go one day, no matter what you do here. Everything is going to go. The so-called family life will be gone, properties will be gone, bank balance will be gone, children will be gone, everything will be gone from here one day. If you think like that all the time, what will happen is, you will get a bit loose inside. The tightness will go inside, the attachment, the strong sense of attachment. So, that means, to senses and sense objects, our strong attachment will loosen up by studying that chapter. If this can happen to Krishna's family, which was living in such an opulence and such glory at that time, that Krishna decided that this should go. And so you can imagine that, unlike us, their lives are so different that they lived everything in plenty, opulence-wise. And they decided it should be gone. So if that can go, where is the question of our life in this world, taking it so seriously? So only if the mind becomes a little bit relaxed about this, only then one can understand Krishna. One can understand Krishna. Instead, if you hold on to everything here in this world very strongly, all our relationships, friends and family and wealth and everything, very strongly, you won't get hold of the other side strong. Your grip won't be very strong. It will not get stronger. So we have to leave that, to create that detachment inside, vairagyam inside. That is why that chapter was spoken. That's the second chapter. Was spoken for this. Now, after this, from now on, the intention, the important thing is that Vasudeva and Devaki were also thinking, life was so good for them. Everything was taken care of. Dwaraka was in such a high level of happiness. Krishna is there to protect everybody. But Krishna wanted them to realize that this is also not permanent. Nothing is permanent here. So, therefore, from now onwards you will see, Sri Narada Maharshi is going to instruct Vasudeva about this. And there, everything is spoken in the story form, in Bhagavatam also. So, therefore, this curse happened, for the whole race is going to be destroyed. And that is due to through that Muslim. All the other race is completely going to be finished. And in reality, all Yadavas were under the leadership of Vasudev. And important person in the whole family is Krishna, obviously. And Vasudev is Krishna's father. So, when this curse from the rishis came, that hit Vasudev very strongly. It hit him very hard. When he realized that this so-called happiness and opulence of Dwaraka is going to come to an end, he got disturbed. First time, he got disturbed. And it was at that time that, according to Krishna Sankalpam, Krishna's plan, Sri Narada Maharshi went to see Vasudev and Devaki in their house. He went to see them. And naturally, when Narada Maharshi walked in, Vasudev and Devaki received them very well, worshipped him also, washed his feet, and paid obeisances to him, and offered him a seat. And then Vasudev is asking Sri Narada Maharshi, that says to Narada Muni, you have come here many times before. Before also Sri Narada Maharshi has visited. Never before Vasudev felt like asking this to Narada Maharshi, this question. Never felt before to ask this question. So you can see this, that when things were going very well, Vasudev never bothered to ask anything to Sri Narada Maharshi, even though he came there many times. But this particular time, when Vasudev realized that there is a curse hanging on from the rishis, anything can happen, that fear caught him. And when he got that fear, he decided to ask this question. From this we can understand that for anything in this world, in spiritual life also, a certain degree of maturity has to come in life. A certain degree of maturity has to happen in life. From our experiences in this world, we will start slowly waking up inside and start seeing the truth little bit more clarity. With clarity we'll start seeing things. Now everything we are seeing through ragadvesham, attachment and aversion, isn't it? Somebody is good, somebody is bad and all. But once you know that the whole thing is going to go one day, immediately from yourself, you will start becoming more aware of the reality behind all these things. And that maturity is necessary in spiritual life also. That means only when you have that awareness, even if you get salsangam, it will be effective only then, only when this awareness is inside. Otherwise, even if you go to salsangam, or even if you have met with people of spiritually advanced souls in this world, it will not benefit you. Till you have this woken up, till it is woken up inside, that it's all going to come to an end. My life is not permanent here. The so-called relationships what I have in this world is all so temporary. When this awareness becomes stronger inside, it is at that time when you are in the satsangam or when you are in contact with the great souls, you will realize the value of it. So why is that at this point in time Vasudev came up with this idea of asking Narada Maharshi about this? Because he started seeing everything is going to go. The whole thing is going to be destroyed. So Vasudev is asking Sri Narada Maharshi, that to Narada Maharshi, says to him, that for the last three lifetimes that he has been going through this, three lifetimes he had this. Not only that, I'm carrying Krishna as my son for three lifetimes, isn't it? Last lifetime as Vamanamurti, when he came as Kashyapa Prajapati and Aditi Devi. Vasudev and Devaki in their previous life was Kashyapa Prajapati and Aditi Devi. That time also Krishna came as their son as Vamanamurti. Prior to that, Sudabhas and Prashni, Prashnigarbham he was called. That life also Krishna was their son. So in three lifetimes, he has been carrying Krishna as their son. And Vasudev is asking Narada Maharshi, why is that I have to keep on going on like this? Why it is not coming to an end, this cycle of birth and death? I'm taking another body, another body, another body. So that's when Narada Maharshi explains to them that that karmam, is the cause behind everything. Karmam, as long as we have, karma means vasana inside. Karma vasana, it is called. As long as these vasanas are inside, it is bound to create or generate another body. And the vasanas will go through. And if you create fresh vasanas, it will again create another body. In this way, the cycle will repeat. Cycle will repeat. So, therefore, Narada Maharshi says to Vasudeva and Devaki that the process with which you can stop this developing fresh bodies is Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma Anushtanam. But I have heard about that, Vasudev says, before. But I never thought about it seriously. Vasudev is mood. And if I am qualified to hear about that, can you tell me what that's all about, this Bhagavata Dharma? And Krishna's plan was, somehow or the other, my father and mother should understand what Bhagavata Dharma is, isn't it? So, now you have to ask this question. Vasudeva started talking about this Bhagavata Dharma at the time of appearance. That means 125 years back. When Krishna appeared, if you look into Vasudeva's prayers to Krishna, you can see there is a awareness of all these things. He is saying there in that prayers that vididosi, he begins that. Vididosi bhavan sakshat. But even after this 120 years, it is still there at vididosi. It hasn't gone further from there, where he started 125 years back. So the worries in the mind has not gone away. But he is feeling that I should hear about this Bhagavata Dharma seriously, he says. And so you can see one important thing here. Even though Vasudeva and Devaki has become the parents of Krishna, that means they must have performed such austerities and penances to be the parents of Krishna. Even for them, unless they execute Bhagavata Dharma, they won't get liberated. Just because they happen to be the parents of Krishna doesn't mean that they are guaranteed liberation. Even for them, they have to follow this process of Bhagavata Dharma before they can escape from this cycle. So the situation is like this. Vasudeva and Devaki has become parents of Krishna. Krishna's parents. But still it's not decided whether they're going to get liberated or not. Imagine that situation. So, the important thing is, from Krishna's viewpoint, have we executed Bhagavata Dharma or not in life? So, Narada Maharshi says to Vasudeva and Devaki, the jiva is entitled for liberation. Entitled for liberation. Vasudeva has asked a very serious question. Very serious question. And Narada Maharshi said, the same question what you are asking me, long ago, Navayogis, the nine children of Rishabhadev, they've asked the same question to Nimi before. And what they that conversation between Nimi and Navayogi, I will repeat that here, he said. So this is the nature of the great souls, that they will quote something from behind. Krishna does this all the time, isn't it? So whenever they talk something, they will not say it's my opinion. That is not their nature. What they're saying that, I have heard this before, the same question was raised before, another instance, and I heard that conversation when it was answered by another great soul. Why is it like that? This system is followed in the Vedic tradition all the time. That when a question is asked, you say, you don't answer that, oh, in my opinion, the answer is like this. This is what I think. It never a system in the Vedic literature. You will see in all the Puranams and Upanishads also, that if ever a question is asked, it's like Narada Maharshi did here, the answer will be that I have heard a similar question was raised before in another place, and that conversation between the questioner and the person who gave the answer, I remember what that conversation was. I will repeat that for you. This is the way. Reason for that is, normally when a person asks a question, he has an ego in him. There is no question about that. No matter who it is. That ego is, I have asked a question. First time a question has come, I am asking that question. So, by saying this way, he is trying to tell the questioner that this is not the first time this question has come up in this world. Long before, this question has come up many times before. So, you don't have to feel very proud about your question. So, for the questioner, in order to convince that person, and so that it is coming from the ahankaram inside, that ahankaram, to keep that ahankaram lower level, to say, convince that person, it is always spoken in this way. That's the reason behind it, number one. Number two, that the person who is answering also, he also has to be careful that his ego also don't go to that higher stages. So, by quoting another person who has spoken the answer to the question in another occasion, he is also taking his role in such a way that I am not answering your question. In fact, I have no qualification to answer your question, but it was answered by another great personality like Navayogis. When they answered Nimi, I can only repeat that to you. In this way, without allowing the ahankaram to rise up either in the questioner or in the speaker, the problem is solved by bringing it in this way. This is the reason behind that. You will see this system all through the Puranas and the Rishis' way of dealing with the world. Because for them that is more important. That our display of our ahankaram is not appreciated by the Rishis. Rishis don't like it. They just don't like that questions coming from ahankaram and questions answered by ahankaram. Both of them are not appreciated by them. So, here you can see. So, that is Srinarada Maharshi's mood. Even Narada Maharshi follows that tradition. And you can see Krishna follows that tradition. When the questions were raised by Uddhava, Krishna says, I have heard Bhishma talking to Yudhishthira at the Sharashaya before leaving this body. I will repeat that to you. Krishna follows that tradition. So, not that they have false ego in there, but to teach the world that this is how you conduct your life in this world while questioning and answering. So, Narada Maharshi never said, I know the answer, I can tell you what it is. He didn't say that. So, he says, or my opinion, it's my opinion, or this is what I like, or things like that. So, he will not say even that, that this problem is always existing, of questions and answers. People always get, they have difficulties over this, isn't it? Why questions are not answered? He couldn't answer my question. So that means he doesn't know. That's the mood it develops inside, isn't it? So, there was one famous Brahmana. He used to pay obeisances to Krishna. And then after that, he will pay obeisances to Kali. He will offer obeisances to Krishna. Then he will offer his obeisances to Kali. So, so while offering obeisances to Kali, he used to chant a mantra. What was that? Yaso pratibhamanam tasmai shri kaliye nama. So, in this Kali Yugam, where everyone takes about their opinion very seriously, and their questions as though that's going to solve all the problems of this world, that is the nature of Kali. Pratibha. So Pratibha. So Pratibha means one's own greatness, one's own glory, establishing oneself as the important person in all these things. We are little tiny creatures who are coming here for a short period of time and gone from here after that. But we become so important when we ask the questions. So therefore, that's what that verse is. Yeah, so pratibha manam. One's own pratibha. One's own brain or intelligence. Tasmai shri kaliye nama.
to that Kali. Only in Kali Yuga, this particular nature of the human species like this. They themselves become so important. Even not aware that they are very tiny, tiny creatures here who had come for a temporary period of time. So, and that is what he is saying there. Because in Kali has got this nature in people, I pay my obeisances to Kali, he says. So after paying obeisances to Krishna, he used to, this Brahmana was a very famous speaker in Srimad Bhagavatam. And people used to ask him all sorts of silly questions. And he used to say to them also that Ekadasha Skandam, he has not only studied it to such an extent that he started to see if it is working for himself. And that famous verses in the Ekadasha where he says, Praname Dandavad Bhumau Asho Chandala Ghogaram, that he followed that very rigidly. When he saw the dog, when he saw the elephant, when he saw the Brahmana, and when he saw the deity, he paid obeisances and tried to test himself whether, do I experience that same bliss, what I felt when I paid my obeisances to Krishna? Do I have that? And he found that it can happen in that way. So, Praname Dandavad Bhumau Asho Chandala Ghogaram. So, that famous thing. So, he is such a person. So, here, if you say something, they will ask the question, what's your authority? Where did you get this from? And you are talking like this. What's your authority on which you are speaking like this? So, the speaker says, this is what I feel about that. Not only that, the speaker is saying, not only I am thinking like that, you should accept that as well, what I am saying. You should accept that also, what I am saying. So, in this way, this spiritual life, people take all these kind of situations, develops like this. So, so what's happening here now is this, Vasudeva performed this famous yagam at that moment, and Nimi performed a famous yagam, and Nimi performed this yagam, and to that yagam, the famous sacrifice, these nine rishis came from the sky, came down there, who are mentioned there, Kavi, Hari, Andarisha, Prabuddha, Pipalayan, Ayurhotra, Jumala, Chamasa, Karabhajana, the nine rishis. So when they arrived, the whole fire started burning in a big way. It started burning in a big way. That means what it's indicating is the predominating deity of the fire, Agni Bhagavan, he himself got up to receive them because they had come. So qualified they were, these nine rishis. That so naturally Nimi offered them nine seats and told them to sit down. Told all of them to sit down in the Yagashala and put them on their seats and worship them, wash their feet, offered flowers and paid obeisances to every one of them. And Nimi says to them, to Navayogis, I have got nine treasures. Nine pots or nine treasures I have got, he said. I'm that happy when I have seen all nine of you here together. That treasure, getting nine treasures and association with satsangam or sajjana samsargam, are they similar? No. Because if you say like that, only then you will understand that. Reason is, we are normally thinking that if you get nine big treasures, it's a big thing. You think like that, isn't it? If somebody got it, then we will find it difficult. We didn't get it. Somebody else got it. If we get it, we'll feel happy. What's the reason? Reason is this, that these treasures, if you get it today, it could be gone tomorrow. It may not remain with us forever, isn't it? Association with, in satsangam, sajjanam, satsam, samsargam, when you get that, it is never, you never lose it. You never lose it. Because in any birth, in any life before, if you had satsangam, sometime before, in some life, that will finish its effect on us. Will only finish till we get liberated. It will keep taking us in that direction. Once you have got proper satsangam in life,
in this life or previous life or life before that, anytime, if you have got satsangam, that satsangam will keep dragging you in that direction towards liberation. It will create such a vasana inside that you will keep on going in the spiritual direction. It will never take you back into the material life again. Whereas the treasure, whatever you got, as soon as you leave this world or you lose that treasure, its benefit is finished. That's the difference between sajjana samsargam, satsangam and treasures. So, you have heard many stories before in the Bhagavatam about this sajjana samsargam. In different ways, in different devotees associating with Krishna in different ways, isn't it? Throughout Bhagavatam, that's the story. Kundi Devi with Krishna, Bhishma with Krishna. This is all satsangam it is. Vidura with Maitreya, Yudhishthira with Narada. Similarly, Mujgunda with Krishna, Akrura with Krishna, Ambarish with Krishna. So in this way, throughout Bhagavatam is nothing but satsangam. All the time, discussion each other. So, when you get an opportunity to meet with spiritually elevated people, we shouldn't talk to them about our mundane things in this world. If you have a desire to know about Krishna, and only in that case, Bhavalsu Kushala Prashnam Alma Ramasu. One should not ask those elevated souls, elevated personalities, that are you well? Is the family well? This kind of questions you should not raise towards them. Normally that's how we ask people, isn't it? How are you? Are you keeping well? So this is the normal way we greet each other in this world. But such questions should not be asked to people who are in the spiritual life seriously. To all these mistakes we commit in daily life. That is why it is not encouraged. It's not proper to ask that question to them. Then what do we ask them then? What do we ask them? That if you want to understand something about spiritual life, something about self-realization, then you can present your questions before them. But there you will see in the second chapter that durlabho manusho deho dehinam kshanabanguram tatrabhi durlabham manye vaigunda priyadarshanam. That is 29. Ada atyandiyam kshemam. That is how, you see, look at from Nimi, how Nimi asked them. Nimi did not ask them anything. Are you well? How is the family? How is the children getting on? How is the job? No question like that. Direct question was like, is to teach us all these things, that how we conduct ourselves when we meet up with people in that level. So that's why, ada atyandiyam kshemam prichramo bhavado anakha samsaresmin kshanardhobi salsanga shevadhirnranam. Salsangam shevadhirnranam, he says. So, kshemagen anjasa bhaven. So, what was the question? Question was, ada atyandiyam kshemam prichramo bhavado anakha samsarasmin kshanardhobi salsangam shevadhirnranam. Everybody in this world wants to be looking for happiness, isn't it? Looking for happiness. We know that from the third canto itself, where Vidura and Maitreya spoke each other, sukhaya karmani karodhi loke. There is Vidura Maitreya Samvadam, you will see in the third canto.
sukham or happiness is everybody is looking for in this world, isn't it? We earn money, we build our house, we get married, and we have children, and we fight each other. All these things is for only what? To become happy. Isn't it? So, everything for our happiness we are doing it. We want to become happy. Therefore we go to work, we earn money, we build our house, we buy a house, and then we get married, we have children. All for what? And if it's probably fight with others also to become happy in all these things, isn't it? So, and some people are saying, if I can steal others' property, that's my happiness. Some people have come to that conclusion also. Some of the others steal others' wealth, then they feel happy. And some other people say, if I can give trouble to a lot of people, that makes me happy. So all sorts of people in this world, is it not? So, so the purpose of all karma in this world is for us to become ourselves happy. Because we think like that. If I do this thing, I'll become happy. Therefore, I'm doing it. It's for my happiness I'm doing that, isn't it? So, Nimi is saying here that sometimes a very, very little happiness you get in this world. For example, a very poor person, very, very poor, if he gets some £1,000 or £10,000, he will temporarily feel a little relief. I got so much money. Like particularly you can see when very poor people, when they win the lottery, you see how ecstatic they feel about the whole thing. But it doesn't last very long. They realize that all the money that has come has gone in all different directions. Somebody bought a lot of sports cars. Somebody bought a lots of nice houses. Somebody went on a lots of holidays and lavishly spent the money. So like this, they spend and when the money is all getting finished, then they feel, oh, we had a good time, that's all, isn't it? So, a person, he, this was a real thing, happened in Dubai, that he took a lottery ticket. And there they have this some of these very fancy sports cars given on as a first prize or something. He won that. And he was an ordinary person who went to work there to earn some money. This sports car cost over £100,000. Very expensive car. He got this car as won that. And then after getting the car, he felt that he should enjoy it at least for some time, driving that car. He drove there, met with an accident and he died. And met an accident and died. So what happened now? With a little happiness it started, it ended up in the whole destruction of that. So all the happiness in this world, in one way or the other, if you look at it, it has this problem connected with that. Temporarily you may think it is giving happiness, but at the end it is all distress. It's like the allopathy tablets. When you put it in the mouth, it is sweet. But afterwards, all the treatment starts and then after a while, when the reaction starts coming up in the body, they will give you another one. Another medicine for that. It is something like that, this treatment, this so-called happiness in this world. So, also you'll notice some of these tablets, if you put it in the mouth, it's only called the coating of the sugar. Till the sugar runs out, it will be sweet. Once the sugar goes away, what is inside material? Once that goes in, it's really not very relishable, the taste of that, isn't it? Similarly, all our material happiness is covered like that with a coating of sugar. With a coating of sugar. Temporarily, that's why you feel a temporary happiness from all material happiness also. So, afterwards, it's all distress. It's all distress. Once it so happened that a servant in a very wealthy family, he was a servant there. The master was very wealthy. He had so many servants. So, and the master, he is not married. He enjoys life. He is not married. Plenty of money. And
he didn't have many relations in the family. So he had one servant for him to look after his needs, everything. One day, this master went away for a dinner or something. For somebody invited him, and so he went for socializing for a party. So at that time, the servant thought, servant has seen the bed where he sleeps. Bed was so comfortable. And it was sprayed with perfumes, air-conditioned room, and very, very comfortable bed. So he thought that this man has gone, invited somewhere and gone. Why don't I lie down on that bed and enjoy it for a while till he is away? He thought like that. So he knew very well that it's going to be a bit late for him to come back. So every day he has to prepare the bed nicely with fresh sheets and quilt and everything, and nicely flowers and then fruits, milk, everything should be near the bed. In a very aristocratic way, how he slept. Everything was organized for him. Not like us. He jumped into the bed, cursing the whole world, at least another day is over. Not in that way. So he wanted to enjoy that bed. So he got inside. So, because he had this desire in him. I just wanted to see what it's like if I sleep on that bed. He never had an opportunity to sleep in that bed. He is used to sleeping on an ordinary mat on the floor with a pillow on that. And after all day hard work, he used to sleep. And he used to fall asleep and go to bed like that. So, the servant got into this bed. Unfortunately, what happened was, with all the comforts, he fell asleep in that bed. The master came back after the dinner. When he came back, he saw the servant sleeping on his bed comfortably. So you can imagine how he felt. What he did, he was a very arrogant person also, not a very kind to the servant either. So he thought that that when he got there, this person is snoring. Sleeping in the bed and he's snoring there. He used to ride horses. So he had this whip in him. With that whip he comes in and gave a few to him and told him to get out from the bed. He said, for what he has done. He wanted to teach him a lesson, to make him aware where you stand, where I am and where you are. He wanted to make him aware of that. So as soon as he got beaten, he got up from there. And he stood there with folded hands in front of the master. In front of the master. And then master gave him another few more thrashes with the whip. He didn't say one word, who the servant. Didn't say one word. After beating him so many times with the whip, he got tired. The master got tired. Then he threw away the whip, came back and sat in his chair. Very expensive, comfortable chair as well. So the servant came in front of him and stood there and started crying. Very seriously, was crying in front of him. So the master says to him, I can't understand you, he said. When I was beating you, you didn't cry. You were quietly tolerating everything. I beat you so badly, you didn't cry at that time with the pain or anything. Now everything is over. I'm coming and sitting here. You're coming and standing there and crying in front of me. What's wrong with you? He says to him. So. And blood is coming out from his body because being beaten like that. So he says to him, my dear master, I don't feel bad for what has happened. That you have beaten me, that's all right. I can tolerate that pain. But when I was thinking like this, when you were beating me, I was thinking like this, he said. I was thinking about you. Why is that? And not that you beat me and because of the pain I am crying, he said. That. So he says, the master says,
What's my problem? What do you think that I've got the problem? He says, I slept in your bed for about probably 15 minutes or 20 minutes. I slept in your bed, isn't it? And for that, I have got so much beating. And how many years you have been sleeping in this bed? I was thinking that how much you are going to get beaten later for this, isn't it? Because what you forget is, he said, you are my master, but there is, you have got another master above you, which you are forgetting. So therefore, when we do things in this world, that I was thinking that for sleeping 15 minutes you beat me so much. How much you are going to be beaten by that master later for what you have done in this world. I was thinking like that and I was feeling sorry for you. And that's why I was crying. He said this to the master. So whatever little happiness we are getting here, what is in storage is actually 10 times more than that distress. What is going to come later, sometime in life. So now life is going like this. And a little happiness here and there, we are picking up here and there. But the distress that is on its way, which is going to come later, is not small quantity. It is in a very, very 10 or 100 times more than what we had got that happiness here. So, similarly, just like children are born, when the children are born, you feel happy. But when you start seeing that the children are getting sick, and you have to look after them, and all other problems that comes from that, then we start getting worried about it, about their welfare. And that becomes another problem for us, isn't it? So for a small happiness, we are willing to tolerate a great distress. This is how all the sukham, happiness in this world. Sukhaya karmani karoti loke. Vidura asked Maitreya this question. So that is not what here Mimi is talking about. Not this kind of happiness. That is why he uses that word atyandigam kshemam. Look at that word. Aham atha atyandigam kshemam. Verse 30. Atha atyandigam kshemam prachamo bhavadonaka samsare smin kshanardhobi salsanga shevadhirmranam. Atha atyandigam kshemam. That atyandigam kshemam, is there a way of getting out of this situation? This little happiness and a lot of distress. Little happiness and a lot of distress from that. Rather than going through this cycle, is there any way one can get out of this once for all and enjoy that atyandigam kshemam? Then, if your real happiness means it should remain forever, it should not go afterwards, isn't it? Otherwise, what's the point in all these things? And that means it should not have even a slightest trace of distress when you have that happiness. That is what is called atyandigam kshemam. Atyandigam kshemam. So to develop that atyandigam kshemam is the purpose of life. The purpose of life. That practically what it means is liberation. In essence, what it means is liberation. What it means is liberation. So, but why did the Rishi did not say like that? Instead, atyandigam kshemam, why did he use that word? He could have said moksham, isn't it? But the word used is atyandigam kshemam. So, if you say like that, moksham, people won't take it seriously. People won't take it. That's our nature. Take it seriously. We will say, I don't want moksham and all that. I've got other things to do. This is what our nature is. So, most of the people will say, if you talk to people about liberation, they will say, liberation, what liberation? We are all right here at the moment. Everything is going okay. I'm not particularly concerned about... quite often, this is what the reply you will get from people. When you talk about life after death, people are asking, who knows there is a life after death?
And what does it matter? We'll see when we get there, whatever that happens. And then they will say every religion is saying different things. So which one is correct? Like this, they will put forward some questions to you. So practically you can see general class of people in this world is not bothered about life after death. Or what happens, there's a thing called this, they are just happy with the way life is going at the moment. As long as it's just reasonably okay, reasonable health, reasonable wealth, and a reasonable family life, it fulfills all their temporary desires, is satisfied with that. Never they think about a thing called liberation in their life. That is why this reason is this. Atindriya Kshemam means, first of all, we have to understand that Vairagyam does not come easily. Even though we are kicked and kicked and kicked all the time in different ways in this world, still we never think about, is there any way of escape route from here? It never comes to us, that thought, isn't it? Still we'll think, try to adjust somehow the situation here, and if we can manage affairs in this world. So, practically you can see, we all want to escape from here. The reality is that. But we never think in those terms. And and when we use this word liberation, it is not very appealing to us either. Although, we want a life without trouble. But we got so used to this way of life, the way we are living now. Trouble, trouble, trouble everywhere. All kinds of problems. Nothing works according to the plan here. And then the body gives trouble and finally we pack up and go from here, isn't it? So, moksham or liberation doesn't mean this. Moksha means, once for all, this business is over here. With this life in this world, material life, material existence, material attachments, freedom from all these things, and genuinely experience the blissful nature of the soul, established in the truth, isn't it? So, the first answer, when this question was raised, the first person who answered that was Kavi. And he says here, one thing to, let's look at it this way. Kavi Maharshi's answer was like this. We will not go into Ekadasha Skandham in detail now, because we have spoken this a lot detail last many years. So all these verses, verse by verse, because they are all very pregnant with loads of spiritual thoughts, each one of those verses. But so we'll just summary, we'll speak through and finish with Ekadasham in that way. So, first thing is that we'll analyze in this way, to think that, why am I feeling this distress like this, the way in this life? That is the best thing, to think in that way. Reason is that, I have put my faith in this temporary world. Everything here is temporary. Body is temporary. All the material wealth is temporary. The bodily extensions are all temporary. And somehow or the other, I feel some trust in them. I feel some faith in their, as though they are there for me to depend on. Isn't it? I put some faith in all these things. Family life, house, our own body, and other things. So, in temporary things, you put your faith. And, which means that, somehow or the other, we started feeling that these even though they are temporary, I feel that they are permanent. This is our state of mind at the moment. Every one of us. We think like this, isn't it? Although they are temporary, we feel they are permanent. In this way we live in this world. In other words, what is actually creating distress for us, there we are looking for happiness from that. Happiness from that. And therefore, we have to cry. The result is that when you get attached to something which is going to be destroyed one day, and the after effect of that is, it will put us into distress. Put us into distress. For example, wealth, all the assets in this world, family, relations, everything, we developed attachment towards them. To all of these things. And when they start getting one by one destroyed here, we start crying. We start crying about it. Or either they leave us
or we leave them, and we have to leave, isn't it? So, that means distress is present when things are getting destroyed. When destruction happens, distress will bound to be there, present. So, first lesson to learn is not to get attached to anything which is going to get destroyed one day. That is the lesson from that. So, we have to learn to develop attachment to something which will never get destroyed. And what is that thing which never get destroyed? That's Krishna. That is why you will see there, that verse, Ittachuda Angim. This is very message of that Kavi's teaching. Kavi Maharshi, first Rishi. Ittachuda Angim Bhajadonu Vrityam Bhaktir Virakthir Bhagaval Prabhodaha Bhavandivai Bhagavadasirajam Tadaparam Shandim Upaiti Sakshal. You see the word Shandi there? What Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita? Talking about Shandi. Shandi is given importance. It's not that normally we say, oh, I feel ecstasy, ecstatic I feel, after the kirtan. This is all emotions. That is not the nature of the soul. Nature of the soul is always Shandi. Tataparam Shandi Mubayidi Sakshal. That is the important statement. So what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says in many, many places, isn't it, about Shandi. Ashandasya kutasukham, he says in one place. And at the 18th chapter also, he says there, Boktaram yadavasam sarvaloka maheshwaram sukhrutam sarvabhudanam yatvamam shanti mruchyati. Later on in the 18th chapter also, he says that, tomeva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharada prasadat param shandim sthanam prapsisi shashvatam. So shandi or peace inside is the nature of the soul, not anything else. Everything else are emotions that comes and goes in life. Isn't it? So here also Kavi say exactly the same thing. Tataparam shandim upaiti sakshal, he says there. So, Tadaparam Shandi Vain Sasha. So, Achyudam. Achyuda Angrim. Uses the word, what is used there? Achyuda. Achyuda means who never falls down. Who never falls, Achyuda. One who has no Chudi. And that's only Krishna. That's only Krishna. So, that means, if you have developed attachment for Krishna, then you will never cry. You will never have to cry again. One person went to the temple and says to Krishna like this. His prayers to Krishna. He says to Krishna like this, that as long as you are there, I'll be okay. But after your time, what will I do? What will I do? You don't have to be worried about it. For him, there is no time after life. His worry was that as long as he says, very personal he was. He says to Krishna like this. He said, so long as you are there, I am okay. But once you go, then what will happen to me? He said. Krishna says to him, don't worry, I will always be here. There is no time will come when I will be gone. That was his answer. So the problem is, to get attached there is the most difficult thing. Although the truth is like that. Krishna is eternal, but to get attached to Krishna is the most difficult thing. So the same thing. Achyudangrim bhajadam. Achyudam. Then, that those great souls who got attached to Krishna in their life, they never cried. They never cried in this world. Everybody else has to cry one day. One way or the other, they will cry. So, therefore, important message there is, iti achyudangrim bhajadona vrityam. And says, Bhakti Virakti Bhagaval Prabhodam. Bhakti Virakti Bhagaval Prabhodam. Bhagaval Prabhodam means Krishna consciousness. In other words, jnana, knowledge. All the three things, renunciation, knowledge and devotion. Bhavandivai, Bhagavadasya Rajam Tataparam Shantimupaiti Sakshal. So, then, how to develop that attachment to Krishna? That was the next question. In answer to that, you will see there, Kavi also says that, the answer is very simple, he says, Shrunven Subhadrani, verse 39. Shrunven Subhadrani Vathangamani Janmani Karmani Jayani Loke Gidani Namani Tadarthagani Gayan Vilajo Vijared Asangaha. That is the answer to that question. That it is not very difficult. Only thing is, one has to have that desire, that's all, to hear about Krishna. To hear about Krishna. Keep on hearing about Krishna. That is what he is saying there. What kind, what's that story? Subhadrani. That interesting thing about Krishna consciousness is that it's not like drinking poison. It's not like drinking poison. Krishna consciousness, Krishna's pastimes are Shrunven Subhadrani Rathangabani Janmani Karmani Jayani Loki. Subhadra means that hearing about Krishna and chanting the holy name. If you start this process, then never in life you will feel distressed any time. You will feel distressed any time. So, automatically, dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham, all the four, religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification, liberation, all these things will come and go, because he will not feel distressed in life because of the trouble with the body. Or he will not feel distress due to problem with wealth. In a very clever way, Krishna takes away that distress from inside. Once you have taken to this process. Even when relations and family members leave you and you are left alone, you won't feel distressed about life. That is the way it works. It works. So if you say like that, is that true? Because those who have taken to Krishna consciousness, they also appear in this world as though suffering from short of wealth or poverty. And you also see people who are Krishna conscious getting sick, isn't it? And you also see their relatives also, family members, dying and leaving this world, going away from here. So how can this be true, this statement? On the one side, we are safe if you take to Krishna consciousness, there will be no more distress due to poverty or due to family members leaving you or ill health and things like that. And then you can ask the question, but normally that's not what we see. Devotees are also losing their family members. Devotees also are having problems with their health. Devotees also are sometimes struggling to maintain themselves in this world. So how will these things will work? The answer is that that you will come to a state of realization, what is called in the Shastram as Bhavatavyam Bhavatyeva. That's the answer. Bhavatavyam Bhavatyeva. That means, what has to happen in this world will happen. But if you are able to accept it that way, that is a success. You see, we shouldn't think that we can change everything. But if in your heart inside, if you are able to accept things without any pain, that's what that word means. Bhavatavyam Bhavatyeva. What has to happen here will happen. All what I need is, I don't have to experience the distress, that's all. Family members will die and go. There's nothing you can do. But if that distress does not get inside me, then I am out of the problem. Is it not? Solution is not that, oh, they should not leave. Solution is this way, that the distress that's coming from their departure, or they leaving me and going away, that should not get inside me. Same thing. If health becomes very bad, bodily health, health becomes very bad, if it's not disturbing me inside, then why should I be too concerned about it? Why should I feel depressed about it? So that shelter, that understanding will come to us through Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness won't take away, because prarabdham, is there. And prarabdham is coming in these different ways, in the form of ill health, in the form of deaths in the family, or other kinds of distresses in this world. And they will come. But if those distress does not affect me, if it does not get inside me and disturb my mind, then I am safe. There is nothing for me to complain about. Everything, when the mind is taking in and gets absorbed, that is when it becomes distress. Is it not? Distress is in the mind. It's not anywhere else. Atma has no distress. Atma is transcendental to everything. So, as long as it does not get inside, what happens in this world, I won't be disturbed over that. So, that courage, strength will come by practicing Krishna consciousness, by taking the spiritual life. That's what happens in the spiritual life. So, that's why he's saying there, Bhavandi vai Bhagavad Sarajan. That is what that Shanti word is indicating. So, if distress doesn't come inside, Shanti will be there inside. One will feel that Shanti. So, hearing about Krishna, studying Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and chanting the holy name, all these things, if all these things has to happen, then there is some other things required. There is some things required. What is that? Only if a fire is burning, only from that fire you can light another fire. Is it not? Only if the one fire is burning, you can take a wick or you can take a firewood from that and set fire to something else. But if that fire is not burning, you can't get another fire going anymore. Isn't it? So, that is why association with those who are used to Bhagavatam, who are studying Bhagavatam, who are always trying to develop Krishna consciousness, their association only will develop that kind of situation inside. That is important. That always associating with people who are cultivating Krishna consciousness, who are taking Krishna seriously, and who are always following Krishna's words very seriously, in their association, you will also get the same fire from that, from the bigger fire. So from the bigger fire, you have to light the smaller fire, you have to create in that way. So, so lot of time, if you keep hearing Bhagavatam, you will also start feeling, I also want to take this Bhagavatam seriously. It will come natural way. It has to come. But if it's not happening, there are other reasons behind it. There's other reasons behind it. So, and gradually, this person also will take Bhagavatam and he will go progressing with the Bhagavatam. And Prahlada has taught us this. In the Prahlada Sudhi, you will see that. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Mishno, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Alpanivedanam. Prahlada's case, isn't it? So, ultimately, it will end up in Alpanivedanam. If this process continues, and he will automatically go up in that way. He will not come back again. So this bhakti, what has become firmly established inside, after a while, that means this, naturally he will be encouraged to study Bhagavatam seriously, he will read Bhagavatam seriously, and will listen to Bhagavatam seriously. In this way, it will encourage him to chant the holy name also seriously. Afterwards, it will start hitting him very hard inside. Initially, it may not have its effect. But afterwards, when you start hearing Bhagavatam for a long period of time, and when you start seeing the gravity of Bhagavatam, and the bhakti that is discussed in the Bhagavatam, automatically our heart starts melting. Stone-like heart starts melting. That's how it says there. Stone-like, our heart at the moment is like the stone. It won't easily melt. It's very, it takes a very stone nature. And that will go away and it will start, a melting nature will develop inside. That means that, what they call in the Shastram is Tanmayatvam. Tanmayatvam means there is a certain degree of relationship with Krishna has built up inside. So that is a symptom of the bhakti. Bhakti's nature is like that. Bhakti develops in the heart. That's where it all begins at the end. So, and you will see when Ramayana was spoken once, that one person went to hear Ramayana first time. It's the first time. Because normally people don't have time for all these things now. Is it not? They are so busy in their life. So, anyway, one person decided to go and hear Ramayana. And a lot of people were listening to Ramayana. And they were discussing Ramayana very seriously. There are so many interesting stories I mentioned before also. Ramanujacharya's Ramayana discourses. Very interesting topics discussed there. So, similarly, in one instance, Ramayana was spoken. And a new person had gone there to listen to Ramayana. On that particular day, what they were discussing was when Ravana has stolen Sita Devi and taken her with him to Sri Lanka. So most of the people who were listening to Ramayana, they were very affected by that when this discussion happened. Some of them were so distressed by hearing about this actions, how Ravana acted on that particular day. So the new person who had come, he is looking at all of them and seeing their facial expressions and their feeling by hearing this story. He was thinking like this. Millions of years ago, some person called Rama stole some lady called Sita. And for this, why all these people are crying here? He was thinking like that. He thought, many millions of years ago, in Tredayagam, a man called Rama, he stole a girl called Sita, and for that they are crying now. What kind of foolishness is this? He was thinking like this, the first visitor to the place, isn't it? He couldn't feel any feelings. He didn't have any feelings for that. Those who were listening, they were so absorbed in that, they were affected by this, about what happened to Sita Devi. But Ramachandra, his action and all did not bother him. Ravana's action did not bother this person. So, but after hearing all this, he thought, this is very interesting. These people are all feeling so affected by all these things. So he felt that, I should go and see next day also what happens to all these people. So second day he goes again. So he thought that all these people are so affected by that. I am sitting like a stone here. It's no good, he thought himself. And he didn't have any change in his heart. So what he thought was that he took a sawala or the onion piece with him. And when he thought he should also cry with everybody else. He should also show some feeling like everybody else. And when Ramayana was discussed, he squeezed this onion into his eyes to feel, show his feelings to them. Who says this story? Vivekananda, spiritual master. Ramakrishna says this story. He says this, that after a few days, he didn't need this onion to squeeze into the eye. In a natural way, that he started also feeling when he heard the story, a change of heart has happened to him. So, that is why, how the effect in us, it is very difficult to explain that to anybody. Only in the association you will experience it over a period of time, that it will have an immediate effect in our heart, and you will start seeing that it is affecting us, the what is spoken in the Ramayana or Bhagavad Gita. So, and you will see this, that, and that, once that heart starts melting like that, that you will become that you will not be a useful person in this world anymore. It will come out like that. It's in a very subtle level, it will develop in that way. You are not a useful person in this world anymore. Once you start developing the symptoms of Krishna consciousness, society will look upon you as to what is this man doing in this world. He is busy with, we don't see him doing anything. You see him running away somewhere and he is keeping to himself. He doesn't socialize. He doesn't get involved with the society. Especially in living, if you are living in villages and all that, village community will have different programs, isn't it? You are not getting involved in anything like that. So, society will look upon you in a different way. There's something going on with this person. He keeps to himself everything, doesn't get involved in anything. He's not associating with us. He's not involving with us in any way. So all these things, as you go up a little bit in spiritual life, these things are bound to happen. And Radha Devi says this in the Bhagavatam, that once we got connection with Krishna, what happened to us? Isn't it? Remember? In the 10th canto, 47th chapter, where Radha Devi said that we have become like beggars. Society doesn't want us. Nobody wants to talk to us. And we have lost all connection with the family. Family members also will give up the connection. Once you don't show the affection towards them, they aren't going to show affection to you. That's all, be finished with that. So, this is what happens with developing Krishna consciousness. All connections are gone, and family members also will start thinking that he is not one among us. They don't want to deal with you anymore. And if you don't turn up again, they'll be happy that you are not giving them any more trouble. Because if they invite you for a social occasion, you go there and they are in an enjoying spirit. And you start telling them about Krishna consciousness, you are only going to cause problem for them. Is it not? That's the way it is. What can you do? That's the way the life is. They don't want you anymore in this world. So, little by little, all connections are gone with this world. So, one incident, what happened in Guruvayur long ago, when Varagundam was there, when he used to read Bhagavatam, he had a fixed schedule. That means, midday offering is over at about 12:30, 1 o'clock. And by 2 o'clock, all the darshanam is finished. And deity rooms, everything is closed. So he decided that from 2 o'clock to 4:30, till the deity rooms are open before people. He had the Bhagavatam lectures going on regularly, continued for 4 years on a regular basis, 7 days a week, whole year. Like this 4 years, he had a long discussion about Bhagavatam in the temple. So, there was one Brahmana from Tamil Nadu who lived in Guruvayur at that time. It so happened that he was into banking. In them days, we didn't have banks like this, HSBCs and Barclays and all these big banks. Individuals ran the banks. They will have a banking system. You can go to them. They will lend you money, or you can deposit the money with them, things like that. In a smaller scale, they ran the banking system. Was like that in villages. So this person who ran this bank, he was a very busy person because he had whole morning busy with the business. So by about 2 o'clock, he finished, and his bank was not far from the temple. Around 2 o'clock, he will finish all his morning business, everything, customers have gone, and then he will go quietly to bathe in the temple tank. That was his schedule. He used to go. So one day while he was going like this, he saw a lot of people inside the temple. He was going to the temple tank. Those days they didn't ever used to shut the temple and all that. Everything was left open. There wasn't so much hassle like the way it is today. Today we got all the cameras there. Policemen are standing there. Security staff. Everybody is there. Before you go, they'll start doing this to you. With the scanning goes on. It's a horrible situation what's at the moment. But in them days, everything was open. People used to come. There wasn't so much traffic and people visiting here, there, everything. So, Brahmana used to go to the temple tank, passing through the temple. He saw all the people who were sitting there. And he listened to them. He could see unusual thing which has happened, never happened before. So, he selected that time to go to the temple tank to bathe.
Why? Because at that time it was too hot and people never used to bathe. Tank was quite free for him to bathe in the tank. So, and the water was very good in them days, unlike now they have to pump the water there. So when he got inside there, that Varaguna was reading Bhagavatam there. And when this was going on, he heard people were in a very crying sound coming from the place where Bhagavatam was read. And he noticed that sometimes they were listening to them laughing inside, hearing that Srimad Bhagavatam. And he heard this few days like this. And he, the way where Bhagavatam was spoken, there are windows with wooden frames on that. He put his head and looked inside, what's going on here? He said. And Varaguna was such an expert with Srimad Bhagavatam that he developed a very large number of devotees to study Bhagavatam very seriously. And it is their tradition and their grandchildren who have come through that parampara later who propagated Bhagavatam in a big way. Later, there was a number of them at that time. So, he looked to the window and he didn't take any interest. He went to bathe himself. Next day again, he thought, let me see what's going on inside. He got inside. Didn't get inside. He stood there and kept listening to that. On the third day, he decided to go a little earlier to listen to what was going on. And he got inside and sat there for about 10 minutes. And then that particular day, he wanted to listen to it the whole day. After the whole day, Bhagavatam was over. Only after that, he got up and left. And from that day onwards, every single day, he sat there to hear Bhagavatam from 2 to 4. And after a few days, it took a few months or so, then one day he decided that all the wealth he had children, he wrote a will allotting the wealth to all the children and he went to Vrindavanam, never came back again. See how things can change in life. He went to Vrindavanam, never came back again. So that is the way the effect of Bhagavatam can be on people. When it is heard from personalities like him, who had that Krishna working through them so strongly, after hearing Bhagavatam, it could have such an effect on a person. There are many instances like this which has happened in the past, who have thrown away family life, wealth, everything, and walked away from this world in that way. So, not the way we think about Bhagavatam. We think about Bhagavatam. Then, just like doctors in emergencies, they give you some medicine, immediate cure purpose. Suppose you have very severe pain, they will give you some peculiar painkillers to relieve you from the pain, isn't it? Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam has got a power like that. That when you are in a state like that, it can take you out of that distress very easily. And we won't know about that. And unknowingly, any verse in this Bhagavatam can hit you with its power. Every single verse in this Bhagavatam had a lot of potency. You will never know which verse in the Bhagavatam will hit you. You can never say that. And once it hits you, then you may not know it at that time. That's what has happened. But later on, when you reflect on this, you will start thinking that how much Bhagavatam has affected you. The knowledge in the Bhagavatam has affected you. Isn't it? So, that is why satsangam is spoken for this reason. That only in satsangam this can happen. Otherwise, if you take Bhagavatam and start reading it, it may not happen. Like as we said yesterday, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Why? Yasmin. Where? Paramahamsa Dharma Megam Amalam. Paramahamsa Dharmam is discussed in the Bhagavatam. Paramahamsa Dharma Jnanam Param Giyate. That knowledge is sung in the Bhagavatam, it says. Jnanam Param Giyate. Param Jnanam. The ultimate knowledge of the soul is spoken in the Bhagavatam. Then, Jnanam Param Giyate. Yatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahidam. Naishkarmyam Avishkritam. Then what does he say? Yet Shrinvan. First thing is hearing. Constantly hearing. Vibhatan. Vibhatan means you have to study Bhagavatam. Otherwise the result won't be very fast. Yet Shrinvan Vibhatan. Vibhatan means Patanam. Patanam means to studying seriously. Then what else you have to do? Vijarana Paro. You have to do Vijarana. Vijarana means you have to scrutinize it. What the rishis are telling us. What Krishna is saying to us. And if you scrutinize it very well, yet shrinvan vipatan vijarana paro, then what will happen? Bhaktya. It will develop bhakti in the heart to that extent. Vimuchyar nara. You will get released from this mess. You will get released from this mess. So, that is why. So, then the next question in the Bhagavatam is, that who is a devotee? Now we say we should hear from the satsangam. Now who is a devotee? That is the next question. In answer to that, you will see that Hari Maharshi answered that. The first question was Kavi. Now it is Hari who is answering. First term, what was Bhagavata Dharmam? That was the first question. Kavi answered that question. Then the conclusion was, in order that to happen, you have to hear from a devotee who is serious about Krishna consciousness and who has been spoken in that verses like that, the nature of a devotee. Then next question was, what are the symptoms of a devotee? Which was asked by Nimi. And answer to that, Hari answers. And there you will see, there is first class devotee, second class devotee, and a third class devotee. Is it not? It's good to know that. We are not all in it together. That's also important to know. We are not all in it together. There is first class, there is second class, there is third class also. And if you read that, you will see, it's not for judging others, it's for judging ourselves. Not to tell, oh, when I see somebody, oh, is he first class or second class? That's not the idea behind it. Because our mind will go in that way. We won't think about ourselves, we'll judge others in that way. But when you read the symptoms of first class, second class and third class, the same category, three categories spoken in the Kapila Maharshi's instructions to Devahuti also. Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti also, there are three classes of devotees. But there, the classification is based on the modes of nature. In Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Practically, there is not a big difference. It's the same thing. But here, their modes of nature were spoken strongly. Here, you will see, Hariruvacha, Sarvabhodeshu Yappashyen, Bhagavad Bhavamatmana, Bhudani Bhagavatyalpa, Esha Bhagavadottama, Ishwareta Tathineshu, Balisheshu Dushalsucha, Premam Maitre Kripovekha, Yakarodi Samadhyama, Archaya Meva Hareye, Pujanya Shabdaye Hadaye, Nadat Bhakteshu Chanyeshu, Sabhakta Prakrata Smrada. So, these three category of devotees. Uttama, Madhyamam, Athamam. Or Prakritam. Athama means, doesn't say low class. Low class will be a bad word. He's also a devotee, you see. So you can't say it is low class. Rather, the word used is Prakritam. Prakritam means very unrefined. Not refined. Is what we call as our terms Bhakta. Fresh one. Which has come into the camp. The first bhakta, we got him. That means he has just shaved up, got the shikha, and got the dhoti, tilak, everything in the perfect order. Nothing changed inside. Externally, everything has been set up properly. That stage. That's the bhakta stage. You see? So that is that, the last one. So, look at the first one. Sarvabhudeshu yapashet bhagavad bhavam atmana bhudani bhagavatyalma esha bhagavadottama. Isn't it? Bhagavadottama. For him, wherever he sees, whatever he sees, all Krishna. Nothing exists here, outside Krishna. Isn't it? And who is inside him is also Krishna. Who is inside him is also Krishna. And that is that realization, what is called in the Upanishads as Sarvam Khalidam Brahmam. Sarvam Khalidam Brahmam. Everything is Brahmam here. Nothing else exists here. So, who has that consciousness inside, one who is in that state, is what is known as the first class devotee, who has come to that state, who has come to that state. For them, there is no big person in this world, a smaller person in this world, and he doesn't have friends or enemies. All these things have, duality has all left him. These are all dualities, isn't it? Friend, enemy, somebody is big, somebody is small, based on the, like we offer respect to wealthy people, poor people we ignore. All this kind of Veda Bhavam, Veda Buddhi has left them. They don't have Veda Buddhi anymore. Veda Buddhi means that somebody is VIP, somebody is not VIP. And this way we categorize people all the time. We are segregating them. That is called Dvandvam. Dvandvam has gone from inside. For him, whether he sees a rich person, learned person, just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? That Brahmano Gavi Hastini Shuni Chaiva Shobhageja Pandita Samadarshina. That Samadarshitvam, equal vision has come to him, and he is seeing that Krishna is present in the elephant keeper, the learned Brahmana, and in the dog eater. He's not seeing any difference in them. Why? Inside them, that spiritual spark is the same. The same spiritual spark is present in everyone. So those who have come to that realization, that is the symptom of a first-class devotee. First-class devotee. And it's a long way to go to get there. It's a very, very long way to go. And they are the pure devotees, as Krishna is saying, Hari is saying there. The second one, let's look at that one. Ishvare tadadhineshu balisheshu dishalsucha premam maitri kripa upeksha yakkarodisa madhyama. These, they have a little difference from the first class devotee. What is that? That they have developed attachment to Krishna. They have some attachment for Krishna. They will develop relationship with the devotees. Maitri. They have relationship with the devotees. That is Maitri. And when they see wicked people who are very offensive and critical of everything and who are very troublesome, when they see like that, they will not go closer to them. And Maitri Kripa, they will feel sorry for them that somebody has become like this. It happens. All the time it happens. All the time it happens. Sometimes you can see this. Devotees and even learned scholars, they have studied Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Upanishads and all very well. And when they speak and listening to them, it's a real pleasure listening to them. But something happened in their life. They have fell off from the spiritual life. And not only they fell off from the spiritual life, they become critical of everything. They started criticizing Shastram. And not only that, the mind turned in such a way, they started even criticizing the great personalities in spiritual life. They become so critical of everything. Great acharyas, great devotees, great jnanis, great yogis, and great authorities in spiritual life, they became critical of them. And they were at one time highly learned, and they could, you will, it was a pleasure listening to them when they spoke from Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads and things like that. So, but this has happened to them. It can happen to anybody, anytime. So these are people, when you see like that, they keep away. They feel sorry for them, that this has happened to such a person. Premam, Maitri, now it is Kripa and Upeksha. And there are other people in this world who are less fortunate. Somehow or the other, due to Prarabdham, they could not take to spiritual life. They could not hear Srimad Bhagavatam. They couldn't hear Bhagavad Gita. They got so busy with their life in this world, the life went off like that. Time finished in this world. And it has put them in a very awkward situation. So when you see them, what can you do? Only you can feel sorry for that, their way of life. They got so absorbed in family life, they got so absorbed in their material life, that they couldn't find any happiness in spiritual life. This has happened. So when you see these four things, premam, maitri, kripa, upeksha, that means bhakti to Krishna, premam for love for Krishna, friendship with the devotees, and and compassion for those who are not fortunate enough to come to spiritual life, and indifference to those who are inimical and critical of devotees. If you see these four things in a person, you can say he is in the middle level devotee. It's all internal thing, nothing external. Externally, all the three will have the same dhoti dress, tilak or shikha or whatever. But internally, that's the difference you have to notice in these people. And there is the third category, which is called the prakritam, prakrita smrita. For them, they do something in spiritual life. They serve Krishna. But selfishness is the goal. Everything for one's own benefit. One's own benefit. Either they want a lot of wealth or some position in this world. Or sometimes it could be that he has some problem with somebody else. He wants Krishna's help that the other person gets destroyed in this world. Even that is there. That it is not possible, especially among the businessmen and politicians and all that. They will get involved in this kind of spiritual life. And that is also, but they have faith in Krishna, that if Krishna wants, he can destroy the other man and solve my problem. In that way, they think in that direction. So, those who come to Krishna with that way, they are that prakrita smrita, the third category. So, so, those people, sometimes it's difficult to call them as devotees. Clearly, after this, you can see after those three verses, what is spoken about is only, in Bhagavatam, they had no intention of discussing about that kind of devotees. Not even about the middle one. Only the first class one. So, you see that when Hari spoke, first three verses, he told the three categories. And after that, all other verses are only about the first class devotee. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Grihitva pindriyayatthan yona dveshtina krishyadi Vishnu or maya midam pashyan savai bhagavadottama. Then the next one. And when you read those verses from 48 to 55, it will give you a real shiver inside. Why? Because to reach that level is quite a long way to go. Quite a long way to go. We could probably put ourselves in that third one, or probably trying to get up from that. It is somewhere there, between the two and three category. That's where our position is. One, two, three category spoken. Either we are in the third, or we are somewhere between two and three. You can say in some way. That's the general way it has to be understood. Because if you look at that category, what is spoken after that, it is tough. It's not easy. Look at that. Deham, Indriyam, Pranam, Mind, Intelligence. Dehendriya Pranam Anodhyam Yo, Janmabhi, Yakshut Bhaya Tarsha Krishrai, Samsara Dharmai Avimuhyamanam. Means, body has its needs, isn't it? And body, bodily discomforts, we can't tolerate. We find it difficult. Pranan is demanding things. What? Hunger, thirst. These are all the effect of pranan inside. Pranan is asking for food. Pranan is asking for drinks. Isn't it? Pranan. Mind is giving trouble. Mind is giving trouble. Intelligence is giving trouble. Janmapyayakshut bhayatarsha krachraihi. Hunger and thirst. None of these things, they are all called samsara dharma. Due to material existence, you will experience the miseries of the body, miseries of the mind, intelligence, senses, all this, samsara dharmam, avimuhyamanam, that is not bothering you anymore. This is the symptom of a first-class devotee. Smritya Hare Bhagavata Prathana. He is the first-class devotee, says Krishna. Hari is saying there. Hari says like that. So, grahitva pindriyartham yon advaishtina hrishyati Vishnu or maya midam pashyan savai bhagavadottama. He is seeing in the world, everything is that's happening here is Vishnu's maya. And therefore, because he knows it is Vishnu's maya, Krishna's maya, Yona Dveshti na Hrishyati. He develops no attachment towards anyone. He doesn't hate anybody in this creation. Na kama karma bijanam yasya chedasi sambhava vasudevaiganalaya savai bhagavadottama. Kamam karma. The effect of kama karma, we know, Kundi Devi said that, isn't it? Avidya kama karma bhi. From ignorance comes desires. From desires comes actions. And that avidya kamam karmam, that will bind us one way or the other. Then Vasudeva, but he is established in Krishna to such an extent. So, this verses will apply to a devotee, will apply to a jnani as well. There is no difference at all. Here, because Hari has spoken, he has spoken in terms of a devotee. Vasudeva inalaya savai bhagavadottama. Na yasya janma karma abhyam, na varnashrama jadibi, sajadesmin ahambhavo dehevai sahare priya. He is not identifying with the body, and either due to janmam or karmam, or varnam or ashramam, he does not feel himself in any way higher than anybody. Always feeling that ahambhavam is not there in Deham. And he is very dear to Krishna. So after saying all that, you will see there is one verse. Tri Vibhuvanam Hedavepi Akundham Smriti Rajit Atmasuradibir Vimurgyat Na Chalati Bhagaval Padaravindam Lava Nimishardam Api Ya Sa Vaishnavagya. First class devotee. That is his qualification spoken there. That means he is unable to forget Krishna even for a second. His smarana is so good. Smarana means always absorbed in not thinking the form. Realizing Krishna's presence inside. How Krishna is running this whole show. of this world. He got established in that state permanently. Never moves away from that. Remember that the Antaryami inside, he knows very well everything what he does. Antaryami is making the decision inside. He is also fully conscious that due to the presence of Antaryami inside, hands are moving, legs are able to walk, he is able to eat, he is able to digest, he is able to breathe, he is able to see, all the senses are functioning, action, knowledge senses, or the senses of action are performing. All of them are working together only due to presence of Antaryami inside. He is fully conscious of this all the time. Number one. Secondly, when he sees another person in this world, another jiva, for example, he is also aware the same Antaryami who is inside me is present in that body also. And that Antaryami in the other body is doing exactly like the way he is running this body. And because he is on that Antaryami realized state, anything that is happening is not disturbing him, because he knows very well Antaryami is one, who is present in me, who is present in another person, another third person. So if something which is favorable or unfavorable happens, he does not fall into the same illusion like we fall, to identify with the body and becoming inimical to that person. Instead, he is saying there that, what you can see, Levanimishardham na chaladi bhagaval padaravindam Levanimishardham abhi sa Vaishnavagriya. Vaishnavagriya, that is his situation. So, and to that person, even if you tell him that all three planetary systems are offered to him, he says, if you can forget Krishna for a moment, he will say, no, it is not possible for me to do that. What is the reason? Because he has tied himself down to Antaryami so strongly, to Krishna inside. That is why you will see in the next verse, in the last verse, Pranaya Ashanaya Dridha Angri Patmam. Pranayar Ashanaya Dridhangri Patmam Sa Bhavadi Bhagavada Pradhanam Ukta. Then Pranayar Ashanaya Dridhangri Patmam. Yashoda Devi tied Krishna down to the mortar with a rope. Is it not? With a rope. And how was she able to tie him down? Through her love for Krishna. She tied him down to the mortar. Similarly, these devotees, they have tied Krishna, they have tied themselves to Krishna in their heart in such a way that they could not anymore leave that. They are in bondage with Krishna. They have tied themselves down with Krishna as Antaryami inside. They know very well that only Krishna exists. Our existence has no meaning. Once it so happened, Villamangalam was traveling. He went to a village. In them days, the system was there. It was completely different. The whole thing has changed so much today. But we are talking about hundreds and hundreds of years back. So, when he went to one particular village, the system was, Villamangalam was a sannyasi as well. So, the brahmanas in the village, that they met together and they decided that this sannyasi will have bhiksha in our house on a particular day. So there were many Brahmana families there. So they wanted to invite Villamangalam and in turn in each house for the bhiksha. So among those Brahmanas, there was one Brahmana who was not very strict about all the daily spiritual activities, what others did. Generally, they were very rigid in their conducting their spiritual life, getting up early in the morning, bathing in the tank, and for hours and hours reciting the Vedam in the temple. This was their practice, normal practice. Many of them will be so busy from morning, say from 3 o'clock right up to 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. After that, they will have a glass of water. First time they'll have their meal. So that means they were the most busy people, even though they were not productive as far as we are concerned. That was their life. They were not productive, isn't it? People will say, what are these people doing here? We are going to running to the factory at 8 o'clock in the morning, working so hard, and we are putting the GDP higher. What are these people doing? They're not doing anything. So this is the way people look at it. But anyway, those days were, this problem didn't exist to the extent that it is today. So these Brahmanas met together and they decided to invite him. They came to know that Vilamangalam was coming. They decided in everybody's house. So one of them, who was not very particular about all these things, that he used to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning. Unheard of, getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning, isn't it? But they wanted to include him in the meeting, so they brought him in and they told him that we have decided like this, these houses, Vilamangalam will take the bhiksha each day for the time he was staying there. So, and they told him that we have decided that this particular day it will be in your house. They did not want him to feel excluded. And the Brahmana said that for the benefit of our temple here and for the benefit of the whole village, that we should do this. So he said, okay, that's no problem. And they told him that don't get up at 8 o'clock that day, at least when he's coming. At least that particular day you should get up early and bathe yourself and get ready, organize everything, and don't put everybody into difficulty. The other Brahmanas warned him, told this particular person. He said, yeah, I'll do all that, he said. They told him also, if you cause problems, because you are such a lazy person, that Swamiji will curse us if we don't receive him properly. He says, no, don't problem, worry about it. Everything will be okay. He said like this to them. Normally, he gets up at about 8 o'clock. But on that particular day, by 9 o'clock, he hasn't got up. He wasn't ready. Even 9 o'clock, the doors were all shut. And all the Brahmanas came with Vilamangalam to this house to receive the bhiksha in the morning. So they got there. Door is not open. House is all locked up. No sign of anything outside. So Vilamangalam has his disciples, devotees with him. So the process is that they will blow the conch shell to make the person aware that Swamiji had come. So they blew the conch shell very loudly. No response from inside. No. So Swamiji, Vilamangalam thought, what is it like this here? It's quite an unusual thing. Never used to happen like that. So Vilamangalam goes and says to all the other Brahmanas who are by then getting very wound up about, even after telling him so much that he didn't care, bother to get himself ready and organize himself. What kind of person is he? He's a shame for our community. That's the way they looked at it. So when they started talking about it, Vilamangalam sensed that there is something fishy about the whole thing. So Swamiji goes up to the door, and when he was going to knock at the door, from inside the voice came, somebody saying, Krishna, move away from here. Don't distract me. Don't disturb me. And telling Krishna to move away from inside, saying to Krishna, let me go and open the door. Swamiji is waiting outside. Krishna is answering to him, let the Swamiji go wherever he wants to go, but I'm not going to let you go now. This conversation between this person and Krishna is going on inside. Vilamangalam heard this from outside. And when Vilamangalam heard this, Swamiji paid obeisances to him right at the doorstep. Vilamangalam paid the obeisances to him at the doorstep. So these kind of situations can happen in life. When one has reached that state, all the rules of this world doesn't apply to him anymore. So such devotees who have reached that state of relationship with Krishna to that level, once by seeing him, seeing such people, you will get released from the material world. And that is what he is saying. So, that satsangam with such people, if it happens, and when that happens, that to serve them, that shraddha is required at that time. And that if we get that shraddha in their service, and if we get that bhakti in the heart, then this maya will not bother us. Krishna's maya will not bother us anymore. That's what he's saying here. That visrajati hridayam na yasya sakshal hari avashabhi dopi akaukhana shaha pranayar ashanaya dhridangri patmam sabhavadi bhagavata pradhanam uktaham. That person, you will see how that connection goes. When you come to that stage, then this maya will not touch you anymore. Because we are all under the clutches of maya at the moment. Is it not? Nobody can deny that. Because maya is so strongly present inside, that's why we are the way we are. Isn't it? So, when he said that, maya will not bother you once you come to that stage, immediately, Nimi asked the question, what is maya? See how the progression. First, what is Bhagavata Dharmam? Kavi Maharshi explained that. Then the question was, what is the symptoms of a devotee? Then, when the symptoms of a devotee was spoken, and he said that a devotee who has reached this stage, first-class devotee, Uttama Bhakta, all those verses are spoken about. If he has reached that state, he won't be affected by maya. When he said that, the king, Nimi, asked, what is maya? Answer to that, Andariksha spoke. Kavi, Hari, Andariksha. Andariksha spoke. So, he says, look at the way how he answered maya. That's more interesting than the question. Maya means that which doesn't exist. Maya means that which doesn't exist. But if it doesn't exist, in experience we are having it all the time. Is it not? In a daily life, it is there. You can't deny that existence of maya. How do we know that maya is existing? That's a good question, isn't it? How do we explain that maya exists? Maya exists because you see in this world that everything doesn't work according to the way we think it will work. And things we think will not happen is happening. And things which think will happen doesn't happen. That's why a lot of people have tried to explain maya. It's never been possible to explain maya. Agadha gadana padiyasi maya. Maya panchakam, if you read, you will see that. So maya is a difficult word to explain and to understand maya. But for our understanding, for better understanding, Andariksha explained maya in a totally different way. Rather than explaining the intricacies of maya, what he did was, he went back to the creation process. And he started from there. You will see, look at the verses there. He says there, for example, we say maya, in any other philosophy in the world, maya doesn't exist. From that itself, you can understand how powerful maya is. It's only in Vedic philosophy, it's spoken about maya so strongly. Only in the Vedic philosophy. All other philosophies, maya has not been given any importance. Everything is real and everything is... that is why they find it very difficult to understand Vedic philosophy. They find it very hard because of this presence of maya. You can see the five topics discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. At the end, you will see in the 18th chapter, Ishvara, Prakriti. Second one is Prakriti, is this maya. Maya. Then Jiva, Kalam, Karmam. Five things are spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Out of that, right after Ishvara, what is spoken is maya. So, if you remove maya from Vedic philosophy, then it is not much different from any other philosophy in the world. It is this maya that makes it give some clarity to us and able to explain certain things which are inexplicable, which cannot be explained, can be only explained by accepting the presence of maya. presence of Maya. And this Maya is also coming from Krishna. Myself. Remember in the beginning of Bhagavatam, in the first canto itself, Vedavyasa Maharshi saw Krishna and sat stand by next to Krishna, he saw Maya, serving Krishna. So Maya is doing her service to Krishna in that way. So, just like when you are in the dream, you are experiencing the dream, isn't it, in the dream. But when you wake up from the dream, to the vacant state, the dream is over. Dream is over. So therefore, but if you say there is no, it is not real, it doesn't go away like that, isn't it? When you are in the dream, it is reality. You are suffering there in the dream, or you are enjoying there in the dream. So when you are in the dream, you are enjoying or suffering. So you can't say it's not real. It's real when you are in the dream state. When you are in the dream state. Similarly, this material world, or this creation for that matter, even though it's not real, we know it has been created. Anything that's created has to have an end as well. It will be destroyed one day. So in reality, it doesn't have any real existence. But this created world, which doesn't exist, and in this world where there is no distress, that distress that doesn't exist, we are experiencing it every day. That is the nature of Maya. World doesn't exist. And the miseries of material world also are not real. It is a very difficult thing for many people to come to terms with this. They will ask this question, that you see, when we study Bhagavatam, particularly in Bhagavatam, because it is a summary of all the Vedic literature, bringing Maya together with the reality is a difficult process. So that is why in several instances in the Bhagavatam, Maya is spoken very strongly, and in the end Krishna is saying to us that even this bondage liberation also is nothing but Maya. And what are we doing here? Try to get for liberation. We talked about liberation in the beginning, isn't it? And later on Krishna is saying, even bondage and liberation is not real. It's not real. Bandho mukta idivyakya gunadomi navastuda gunasya maya mulatval. These three modes of material nature has come from maya. Name moksho na bandhanam. There is no moksham, there is no bandham. And that comes in the 13th chapter, or 12th chapter or something. Or 11th. But here in this Nimi Navayogi discussion itself, we have seen Kavi Maharshi saying and Hari Maharshi saying how important and see it is to escape from Maya. So Maya, no matter how much you discuss about Maya, to come out of Maya is another story. The whole thing is another story. So that is why it mentions here. So therefore he says here that world doesn't exist. It will come later. When you come to the end of this Ekadasham, Krishna is proving to us world doesn't exist. Krishna's logics are very, very strong on that. No compromise at all. You can argue with him anything you like, but the way Krishna has spoken there in the 28th chapter about the unreality of this world, and Krishna is saying, and we, even though Krishna is saying like that, the world is not real, Krishna is also saying to us, all these things, distress what you are experiencing in this world is also not real. Krishna is saying to all this. But we are saying to Krishna, how can you say that? I am suffering here with this body. I am suffering with all the problems of this world. And you are coming and telling me it's not real? We'll ask that question, isn't it? There you have to look at Krishna's arguments. And he, if you are little fortunate and get on to that, hold on to that, then you will understand what does Maya means. What does Maya means? So then the question comes. So therefore that description of Maya, see how the Maya was spoken. It is said here, instead of answering that question like that, he spoken about the creation process when Maya was created. That how different material elements were created, you can see there. കാലം ദ്രവ്യം ഗുണാത്മകം ധാതുപപ്ലവം ആസന്നെ വ്യക്തം ദ്രവ്യ ഗുണാത്മകം അനാദി നിധന കാലോ അവ്യക്തായ പകർഷതി ആൻഡ് ഫ്രം ദെൻ ഓൺവേർഡ്സ് റൈറ്റ് അപ് ടു വേഴ്സ് 15 ഇറ്റ്സ് ഓൾ അബൌട്ട് മായ ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഇൻ ദ ക്രിയേഷൻ പ്രോസസ് ഹൗ മായ കെയിം ഇൻ ടു എക്സിസ്റ്റൻസ് ആൻഡ് ഹി സേസ് ദർ ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഫൈവ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ എലിമെന്റ്സ് ഹൗ ദേ വർ ബോൺ ആൻഡ് അൾട്ടിമേറ്റ്ലി ഹി സേസ് പ്രവിശന്തി അഹങ്കാരം സ്വഗുണൈ അഹമാത്മനി the birth of ahankaram false ego and then he says esha maya bhagavata sargam sthiti andhakarini that means it is only due to maya creation srishti sthiti and samharam happens beginning middle end of this creation going on like this due to maya ത്രിവർണ വർണിത അസ്മാഭി കിം ഭൂയ ശ്രോതുമിച്ഛസി ദ ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ മീൻസ് ത്രീ കളേഴ്സ് ഫോർ ദം ആൻഡ് ദ വൈറ്റ് കളർ ഫോർ സത്വഗുണം റെഡ് കളർ ഫോർ രജോഗുണം ആൻഡ് ബ്ലാക്ക് കളർ ഫോർ തമോ ഗുണം ഓൺ ദാറ്റ് ബേസിസ് കിം ഭൂയ ശ്രോതുമിച്ഛസി ഡു യു വോണ്ട് ടു ഹിയർ എനിത്തിങ് മോർ ദൻ ദാറ്റ് സോ യു ക്യാൻ സീ ഇവൺ അന്തരീക്ഷ ഡിഡ് നോട്ട് talk about how do you explain maya it's the most difficult thing to explain isn't it all he could do was to say about what does maya in relationship with creation what is happening inside the creation didn't discuss that this is how it has come around and he left it there and then asked him do you want to hear anything more he said so we'll talk after a few minutes
ചേതോ ദർപ്പണമർജനം ഭവമഹ ദാവാഗ്നി നിർവാപണം ശ്രേയക്കൈതവചന്ദ്രികാ വിതരണം വിദ്യാവധൂ ജീവനം ആനന്ദാംബുധിവർദ്ധനം പ്രതിപദ പൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാത്മസ്വപനം വരം വിജയതേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാമകാരി ബഹുദാ നിജ സർവശക്തി തത്രാർപ്പിതാ നേമിതാ സ്മരണേന കാല ഏതാദൃശീ തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാഭി ദുർദൈവമേദൃശമിഹാജനിനാനുരാഗാഃശുനീചേന തരോരഭി സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാ ഹരി നദനം ന ജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരീ ഭവദാദ് ഭക്തിരഹൈതുകി ത്വയി അയി നന്ദതനുജ കിങ്കരം പതിതാം മം ഷമേ ഭവാം ബുധൌ കൃപയാ തവ പാദ പങ്കജ സ്ഥിത ധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയ ഗളദശ്രുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിര നിജിതം കഥാ വപൂ തവ നാമ ഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായിതം നിമേഷേണ വിഷായിതം ഇതം ജഗൽ സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വരഹേണവേ ശിഷ്യവാ പാദരതാം നഷ്ടു മാം
So, what's interesting here about Maya, what is spoken in these verses is that, that Krishna is saying to us at the end about this world. This world doesn't exist as far as Krishna is concerned. And equally, Krishna is also saying here that these problems what we experience in this world, what is disturbing us, for example, birth, death, old age, disease, all these things, Krishna says it doesn't exist. That's the way. Why? Because in our Swarupam it's not there. In our spiritual identity, none of these problems exist. Therefore, they are not real. That is Krishna's point. Birth, death, old age and disease for whom? Who is experiencing it? Body is experiencing it. Mind is experiencing it. It is in the subtle body and the gross body. But in our pure identity of the soul, none of these problems exist. That is why Krishna's point is that the world is not real, body is not real. Neither of them are real. This will be spoken later. In the Agadisham at the end, it's all spoken very strongly on that basis. So, a world that doesn't exist, and the problem we are experiencing, we are not unable to accept that. Is it not? We say we are suffering from this world in various ways. Similarly, all the problems what Krishna says doesn't exist. Yes, it doesn't exist, but we are suffering from that. This is our problem. This is so world that doesn't exist and the problems that doesn't exist, from that we want a relief. We want a relief from that. So, and we are experiencing that and disturbs our mind and problems and suffer from that. And this is what is called Maya. This is what is called Maya. Maya means this. That one side, Krishna is saying, world is not real. We'll come that later. You come to that 28th chapter where he explains that. Remember what he told us, that kim badram kim abhadram va dvaidasya avastuna kiyal vajodidam tad anardam manasodhyatam evacha. Famous words in there. So, what you say here, what's good and bad, what does it mean all? Kim badram kim abhadram va dvaidasya avastuna kiyal, that this dvaidam cannot touch the vastu. Vastu inside, Atma, is eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. That is our real identity, isn't it? So, vajodidam tad anardam manasadhyatam evacha. Whatever we are speaking in this world, we are talking and or communicating in different ways, it's all lie, Krishna says. From Krishna's viewpoint, it's all a lie. Vajodidam tad anardam. Why? Because it's a product of the mind. Manasodhyatam evacha. From the mind you have created all these things, all our big programs and big activities, whatever that's going on here. So, from Krishna's viewpoint, all of these things are false. It has nothing to do with the reality. Reality is something different than all these things. So, something that is false, something that is unreal, but the miseries of that we are experiencing every day in our life. Isn't it? So, so, in order to win over this Maya, what do one has to do? How to get out of this Maya, this situation? That was the next question. For which a one who has woken up from that Maya is called Prabuddha. Prabodha means to wake up from that condition. Prabuddha. Prabuddha is that person who has woken up from that Maya. That's why Prabuddha is answering that question. Yathaida Maishuri Mayam Dustaram Agadal Mabhi Tarandyanjastula Dhyo Maharshay Maharshay Damuchyadam. So, how to win over Maya? How to get out of this Maya? That what do one has to do? What one has to do to get out of this Maya? First of all, he has to decide himself, what is the goal of this life? What's the goal of this life? What is that? Goal of this life is that that we want to be happy here. That's our one of the goals. That's why we are here, isn't it? But you have to look at others and see, is there anybody happy here really? Really, is there anybody happy here? So, and if you find somebody who says that I'm always happy, then you can ask that person how you became happy in life. But but once you walk around and ask, only you have to, just like we say, simply ask, how are you? Fine. You have to dig a little bit more deeper into it. Only then, how fine it is, you will know. It will all come out. He will start telling you all his problems in life. With the health, physical problems, mental problems, all other kinds of things, isn't it? So, so hundreds and hundreds of distress inside. And still we will tell others, I'm alright. It's not too bad. We will say like this, isn't it? So, Krishna is saying here, that first thing is, even if you go to Brahma's planet, there is no happiness there. When Krishna says happiness, it means perpetual happiness, where there is no break. Even there is unhappiness. In Brahmalokam also, Brahma's planet. And therefore, there is also distress there. This conviction we have to have, that there is no happiness anywhere in any of these planetary systems. Either of the three planetary systems, there is no happiness. That realization one has to come to. So that is the first thing, and that's not easy to come to that understanding. We are people who are thinking that there is happiness in this world. And we have been told if you go to heavenly planets, the standard of life is so high, there is so much to enjoy there. And what to talk about Brahmalokam. So with this mind, frame of mind, it's very difficult for us to completely come out of this perception at the moment. But therefore, Krishna is saying here, Prabhupada is saying here, Tasmad Gurum Prabhadyeda Jinyasu Shreyam Uttamam Shabde Parecha Nishnadam Brahmani Upasham Ashrayam. That is the answer for that. Tasmad Gurum Prabhadyeda Jinyasu Shreyam Uttamam Shabdam Parecha Nishnadam Brahmani Upasham Ashrayam. That we don't know where this happiness is available. But what we need is happiness. We want to be peaceful and happy in this life. That then Krishna is saying, Prabhupada is saying here, go to somebody who is in this verse what is spoken. That, and under his direction, engage in Bhagavata Dharmam. So if you execute Bhagavata Dharmam, what is spoken in the Bhagavatam, and if you develop bhakti, then he will not be affected by Maya. Maya will withdraw from that person. So then the question came, is this Maya not Krishna's Maya? Also, who is responsible for this Maya? And Maya also got its power from Krishna. Krishna is behind Maya also. Maya also to function, it needs some power behind. And that is Krishna. So where is Krishna then? Where does he live? And Maya, which is controlled by Krishna, where is he? And so at that time, Maharshi says to him that the easiest thing to say is, better not to ask that question, where does Krishna live? It is easier to find out if there is a place where Krishna doesn't live, where Krishna is not there. Rather than asking the question, where is Krishna present? Better to ask the question, find a place where Krishna is not present. Krishna is not present. So, that is why you will see that the way Evadasham is talking about the that verse is spoken about the Guru's position. What he is talking about the Tasmad Gurum Prabhadyeda Jitnyasu Shreyam Uttamam and qualification of the Guru. Shabde Parecha Nishnadam. He should be established in the Shabda Brahma. Brahmani Upasham Ashrayam. He should be so surrendered to the Krishna that such a person one should approach, it says there. And then all other verses which we spoke before. It was at that time this question came up that where do we find Krishna? Maya belongs to Krishna. Everything is Maya, we are saying there. So, and because of presence of Krishna, only Maya has got this power to do what she is doing here. Where is Krishna then? If you ask that question, better not to ask that way. Rather ask, where is this Krishna? This is not present. Krishna is not present. So, it is at that time he said that all you have to do, you have to look inwards. You have to look inwards. So, how is this body made of? Body is made of bones, the skin, the blood, urine, and all other things, flesh. All these things are not very nice, are they? Everything what this body is made of, they're not very nice things. They are all on its own smelly, and if you leave it for a few days, it is very disgusting. Everything is very disgusting, isn't it? And in all these things, does not have on its own any living force inside. Any living force. And on its own, this blood, bones, flesh, the nerves and skin, everything, on its own, it cannot do anything, isn't it? But when you put them all together, we are able to do a lot of things in this world when they are all together, isn't it? Where did this package get that power from? That's the question. So when the king asked that question, Nimi asked the question, where is Krishna? That was the question. Where is Krishna? Narayana Abhidanasya Brahmana Paramatmana Nishta Marhada No Muktum UMHI Brahmavitama. When that question was asked, when that question was asked, the answer was that this package of flesh, blood, bones, skin and all these things together, which is capable of doing so many things in this world, where did that package get its power from? Pipalayana Maharshi answered that question. You can see there that there must be some power inside this body, which is able to make this happen. That it is that source that is from inside able to conduct the function of this body properly, that is God. That is the way he answered. That is Narayana. That's how he answered. Pipalayana Maharshi answered. Bhagavata Dharmam, first question. Symptoms of the devotee, second question. Maya, third question. How to cross over Maya, the fourth one. And the fifth one is, where is Krishna? When they asked that question, the answer was given, look inwards and study this body and you will know where Krishna is. You don't have to look anywhere else. So, you can see that it is based on Antaryami principle Bhagavata Dharmam is created. Bhagavata Dharmam is created centered around Antaryami. That if you learn Antaryami principle, Antaryami present inside, by whose presence this body is able to function. Senses are working, mind is working, intelligence is working. And we are conducting so many activities in this world, all due to whose presence. And it is that presence of him, that power inside, that is God, that is Ishvara, that is Krishna, he says. And that power is not only present in the human body, it is present in all the living entities in the whole creation. That's how he answered. Birds, beasts, aquatics, and plants, trees, creepers, no matter what you look, reptiles, anything, whatever you say, it's all there. Wherever there is life, there that is presence there. It is present there. So, then the king asked this question. If that Antaryami principle and connection with the Antaryami is the most important thing, then why in the Vedam, such a huge part of the Vedam is referring to Karmakandam, the Karmakandam section of the Vedam. Karmam is spoken in the Vedam also. It is instructed in the Vedam. Karmam is a 70-80% of Vedam is Karmakandam. Is it not? What was the necessity for that? So, that time, the answer was given. Avirhotra Maharshi answers that question. The purpose of taking a medicine is not keep on taking the medicine for the whole life. That's not the intention of taking the medicine. Once you have taken the medicine and if the disease is gone, then you can stop the medicine. Karmakandam is like that. Karmakandam is like that. So the purpose of the medicine is to cure the disease. Once the disease is finished, gone, then you don't have to take the medicine anymore. Similarly, according to Karmakandam, if you have followed seriously, if you execute Karmakandam, the effect of that is Manashuddhi, Chitta Shuddhi will come. You will get purified inside. That is why you can see Yudhishthira, Prachina Barhisa, and many other kings, Prithu Maharaj, in the Bhagavatam, they were all conducting regularly sacrifices. Is it not? Prithu conducted 100 Ashwamedham. You remember that? Mahabali conducted 100 Ashwamedham. On the 100th Ashwamedham, problems came. Why did they do like this? Hundreds of sacrifices, Ashwamedham. And similarly, you can see Yudhishthira performed Rajasuyam. Ashwamedham also. Many Ashwamedham, 3 Ashwamedham he performed to get rid of the sinful reaction from Mahabharata war. It's there in the Bhagavatam. So, all the sacrifices are Karmagandam. Why Karmagandam? Because it purifies one's consciousness. Free oneself from vasanas and also free from the effect of all the sinful activities we have performed. So, purification is the goal. And even Vasudeva and Devaki, they were performing sacrifices. Narada Maharshi told them to perform sacrifices. All the rishis told Vasudeva and Devaki to perform a sacrifice in Samanta Panchagam. That was the system then. So, Jaimini's Karma Mimamsa, Karma Gandam from the Vedam, is meant for this purpose, for purification of one's own existence. So, only the kings could perform them because they were wealthy and they had the capacity to do so because the ingredients required for that and also the persons who have qualified people for conducting these sacrifices because of those reasons. Mainly they performed them. That is why throughout Bhagavatam you find sacrifice after sacrifice spoken. Yudhishthira sacrifice, Prajina Brahi sacrifice, Prithu Maharaj sacrifice, Mahabali sacrifice, everywhere sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice. So that is Karmakandam. So what is the purpose of all that? They knew very well by performing sacrifices they get purified. They get purified. And that is the potency of the Vedam. Vedic hymns have got its own potency. So here the purpose is, what Avirhotra is saying there is that if you execute karmam in that way, through sacrifices. Now what Krishna has done, that sacrifices in the Vedam, into Bhagavad Gita Krishna brought it as karma yogam. Remember? That is why it is from the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita itself, the first 6 chapters is this karma yogam spoken, because through karma yogam one should purify oneself first before he comes into jnanam or bhakti. It is a mandatory requirement. Karma yogam is a mandatory requirement that somehow or the other one should purify oneself through karma yoga process. So karma yogam in the Bhagavad Gita is different than the Karmakandam in the Vedam. Karmakandam in the Vedam, Krishna made it easier for us in the Bhagavad Gita through Karma Yoga. That's why. Principles are same. What is in the Karma Yoga and Karmakandam, principles are same. How it works, that underlying principle is the same. But Karma Yoga is more modern, you can say, to suit our present lifestyle or the way we live in this world. Basically, you can see the Karma Sutrams are spoken in the 2nd chapter, isn't it? Karmanne va adhigaraste ma bhaleshu kadanchana ma karma balahe dubbur ma de sangusta karmani. These 4 things are called karma sutram. These 4 karma sutrams are the basis of karma yogam, on which karma yogam has been set up. And then the first 6 chapters are all about karma yogam. So then he says there that in Vedam talks about karmam. For what purpose? That if you do not have this karma yoga principle, people will engage in various kinds of karmam which are against the principles of religion. That's why they talked about karmam in 3 different categories. Karmam, agarmam, vigarmam. Isn't it? Karmam is that one which is as per the injunction of the Shastram, what you perform. Like the Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads Karmagandam and all that. What you follow that and do that, that's karmam. Akarmam means what is forbidden. That means that you are not acting according to the injunctions of the Shastram. That is akarmam. Vikarmam means doing things which are creating destruction in this world. Lot of our life in this world today is vikarmam, isn't it? So you can imagine that the vikarmam, what we do, what is in waiting, going to happen later. If there is some little intelligence, anyone could think this. The kind of vigarmam we perform today, the reaction of all these things when it comes back later, there is no need to be surprised at all for what we are doing and what is going on, isn't it? So, so what is karmam, what is vikarmam, what is akarmam? These three questions is very difficult to answer. Krishna says this, gahana karmano gadi. How karmam reacts in this world, even learned people find it very hard to explain that, says Krishna says like that. So karmam, akarmam, vikarmam is a very difficult question to answer. Only thing is, this much if we understand about karmam, purpose of karmam is this much. Somehow or the other, it should purify our heart and ultimately bhakti should develop in the heart. That's all. That is how much we need from karmam. That by executing karmam, we should get purified and the end result of that is we develop bhakti in the heart. And once that has purification has happened, then vairagyam will come. Vairagyam will come and end result of that is bhakti. So through karma yogam, one develops purification of the heart, chitta shuddhi comes from that, and from that vairagyam will come, and from vairagyam bhakti will come, and from that, for that purpose, karma yogam is spoken. Karma yogam is spoken. Karma yogam is that in a certain way, the remember the kriya yogam in the Bhagavatam is a part of that. Pujavidhi, all the Pujavidhi, isn't it? So, according to one's capacity, at least a certain number, amount of time engaging in the deity worship, it will help for purification of one's own existence. So, this creation, karma yoga, what he is talking about here, about that in detail in the 27th chapter, in the 11th canto, it is spoken. So, to free yourself from the karmam and its after effect of the karmam, that's karma yogam is spoken as deity worship in the Bhagavatam here. Kriya yoga magazine is called in the 27th chapter, and that is where the answer was given. Avirhotra says to him, karma, karma, vikarmedi. If you go in that verse, you will see all those verses. Ultimately, what does he say? Archaya, archado hrdaye jabi, yada labdhoba charagai, dravya akshitya atmalingani nishpadya proksha jasanam. All that verses from 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, all that verse is deity worship. Deity worship, which is nothing but karma yoga. So, this is what deity worship does. Deity worship eventually purifies one's heart. It's a good process to purify the heart, deity worship. And the same thing, in 27th chapter, Krishna has spoken a little bit more in detail later. So, with that, the third chapter finishes. Avirhotra Maharshi's lecture also finishes there. Now, we have got, after this, Drumila, Chamasa and Karabhajana, the three rishis, and their questions and answered. So I'll just read through those two chapters and then we'll continue later. So Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Chaturthodhyaya Shri Rajo Vaja Yani Yani Hakarmani Yaire Sachanda Janmabi Chakra Ekarodi Kartava Haristani Bruvandhuna Drumala Vaja Yova Ananda Sugunan Anandas Anukramishan Sadhubala Buddhi Rajam Sibhumir Ganayan Kadanjal Kalena Deva Akhila Shakti Dhamna Bhudhiryada Panjaviratmasrishtai Puram Virajam Virajayadasmin Swamshena Vishtapurushabhidhanam Avavam Arayanam Adi Deva Yelkaya Mesha Bhuvanatraya Sannivesho Yasyendri Aistanipurda Upayendriyani Jnanam Sudashasanado Balamo Jamiha Sattva Adibi Stidilayo Dham Adigarta Adhava Bhuchadadu Virajasasya Sarge Vishnu Stidau Krutupadir Dvija Dharma Setu Rudropya Tamasa Purusha Samadhi Ityut Bhavastidilaya Sadadam Prajasu Dharmasya Dakshaduhidarya Janishtamurtiam Narayano Narakrishi Pravara Prashanda Nice Karma Lakshanam Uvacha Chachara Karma Yodhya Vijasta Krishi Vaidya Nishevidankrim Indro Vishangyamamadha Majigrikshadi Idhi Kamam Niyukta Saganam Sabadari Ubhakhyam Gattu Apsaryoganamasanda Sumandavade Stri Prayakshane Shubhi Avidyadan mahi, avidyadan mahi, yeah.
വിജ്ഞായ ശക്രകൃതമക്രമമാതിദേവ പ്രാഹപ്രഹസ്യ ഭഗത വിസ്മയമേജമാനാൻ മാ ഭൈഷ്ടഭോ ഭദനമാരുതദേവവധോ ഗൃഹണീതനോ ബലിമശൂന്യമിമം കുരുധ്വം ഇത്തം ബ്രോത്യഭയതി നരദേവദേവാസവ്രീഡ നമ്രശിരസാ സകൃണം തമൂച്ചു നൈതവിഭോ ത്വയി പരേ അവികൃതേ വിചിത്രം സ്വാരാമധീര നികരാനത പാദപത്മൈ ത്വാം സേവതാം സുരകൃതാ ബഹവോന്തരായാം സ്വോകൌ വിലംഘ്യപരമം വ്രജതാം പദം തേ നാന്യസ്യ ബർഹിഷി ബലീം ദദത സ്വഭാഗാൻ ദത്തേ പദം ത്വമവിദായതി വിഘ്നമൂർധ്നി ക്ഷുത്രിൽ ത്രികാലഗുണമാരുത് ജഹ്യശൈഷ്ണ്യ അസ്മാനപാരജലതി അതിതീര്യകേചിൽ ക്രോധസ്യാന്തി വിഫലസ്യ വശം പതേ ഗോർമർജന്തി ദുശ്ചരതപശ്ച വൃഥോത്സൃജന്തി ഇതി പ്രഗൃഹണാം ദോഷാം സ്ത്രീ അത്യത്ഭുതദർശന ദർശയാമാസ ശുശ്രൂഷാം സ്വർച്ചിത കുർവതീർവിഭോ തേ ദേവാനുപരാ ദൃഷ്ട ശ്രേയ ശ്രീരിവരൂപിണി ഗന്ധേന മോഹുസ്താസാം രൂപ ഔദാര്യ ഹതശ്രിയാഹ ദേവദേവേഷാ പ്രണതാൻ പ്രഹസന് ഇവ ആസാമേകതമാം മുഗ്ധ്വം സവർണാം സുർഗഭൂഷണാം ഓം ഇത്യാദേശമാദായ നത്വാം തം സുരവന്ദിനാം ഉർവശീമപ്സരശ്രേഷ്ഠാം പുരസ്കൃത്യ ദിവം യയു ഇന്ദ്രായാനമ്യ സദസി ശൃണുതാം ത്രിദിവൗകസാം ഓജുർനാരായണബലം ശക്രസ്തത്രാസ വിസ്മിതാഹ ഹംസസ്വരൂപ്യവദച്യുതവാത്മയോഗം ദത്തകുമാരകൃഷഭോ ഭഗവാൻ പിതാ ന വിഷ്ണുശിവായ ജഗദാം കലയാവതീർണ സേനാഹദാമധുപിതാശ്രുതയോഹയാസ്യേ ഗുപ്തോപേമനുരിൽ ഔഷധയശ്ചമാൽസ്യേ ക്രൗഡേഹദോദ്യതിജ ഉദ്ധരതാം സകാഷ്മാം രഥാംബസഷ്മാം കൗർമേദ്രുതോദ്യ അമൃതോന്മഥനേ സുപൃഷ്ടേ ഗ്രാഹാൽപ്രപന്ന വിഭരാജമുജദാർത്ഥം സംസ്തുനോദ്യുപതിദാൻ ശ്രവണം നൃഷീശ ശക്രം ച വൃത്രവത സമസി പ്രവിഷ്ടം ദേവസ്ത്രിയോ അസുരഗൃഹേ പിഹിതാമനാഥ ജഗ്നേ അസുരേന്ദ്രമഭയായ സദാം നൃസിംഹേ ദേവാസുരയുജ ദൈത്യപതീൻ സുരാർത്ഥേ ഹത്വാന്തരേഷു ഭുവനാന്യതിഥാത് കലാഭി ഭൂത്വാധവാമന വിമാമഹരദ്ബലേഷ്മാം യാച്ഛാചലേന സമദാദതിദേ സുതേഭ്യ നിക്ഷത്രയാമകൃതകാം ജസ്ത്രി സപ്തകൃത്വോ രാമസ്തു ഹൈഹകുലാപേ ഭാർഗവാഗ്നി സോബ്ധിം ബബന്ധ ദശവക്ത്രമഹൻസലംഗം സീതാവതിർജയതി ലോകമലഗ്നകീർത്തി ഭൂമിർഭരാവതരണായ ദുഷ്യജന്മ ജാതക്കരിഷതി സുരൈരഭി ദുഷ്കരാണി വാദേർവിമോഹ്യതി യജ്ഞകൃതോധർഹാൻ ശൂദ്രാൻ കലോ ക്ഷിതിഭുജോ ഹനി ഷദന്തേ ഏവം വിധാനി കർമാണി ജന്മാനി ജഗൽപദേ ഭൂരിണീ ഭൂരിയശസോ വർണിതാനി മഹാഭുജാ ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമഹംസ്യ സംഹിതായാം ഏകാദശസ്കന്ധേ ചതുർത്ഥോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ പഞ്ചമോധ്യായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ രാജോവാച ഭഗവന്തം ഹരിംപ്രായോ നഭജന്ത്യാത്മവിത്തമാ തേഷാമശാന്തകാമാനാം കാനിഷ്ഠാവിജിതാത്മനാം ചമസോവാച മോഹബാഹൂരുവാദേഭ്യ പുരുഷസ്യാശ്രമേ സഹ ചത്വാരോ ജ്ഞനേ വർണ്ണാഗുണവിപ്രാദയ പൃഥക് യേഷാം പുരുഷം സാക്ഷാത്മപ്രഭമീശ്വരം നഭജന്ത്യവജാനന്ദീ സ്ഥാനാൽ ഭ്രഷ്ടാ പതന്ധ്യഥാ ദൂരേ ഹരികഥാ കേചി ദൂരേ ചാശ്യുതകീർത്തന ശ്രേയശൂദ്രാദേശ്ചൈവാദീനുഗമ്യാഭവാദൃശാം വിപ്രോ രാജന്യ വൈശോ ജഹരോ പ്രാഹേ പ്രാപ്താബ്ദാന്തികം ശ്രൗദീന ജമനാഥാവി മുഹ്യൻ ദാമ്നായവാദിന കർമ്മണ്യ കോവിദ അസ്തബ്ദ മൂർഖാപണ്ഡിതമാനിന വദന്തി ചാടുകാൻ മൂഢായമാധ്വ ഗിരോത്സുക രജസാഘോരസങ്കൽപ്പാ കാമുകാഹിമന്യവ ദാമ്പികാമനി ഭാവ വ്യസന്തി അച്യുത പ്രിയാൻ വദന്തിന്യുവാസ സ്ത്രീയോ ഗൃഹേഷു മൈഥുന്യപരേഷു ചാശിഷ യജന്തി സൃഷ്ടാന്ന വിധാന ദക്ഷിണം വൃത്തിയായി പരം ഗന്തി പശുവിന തദ്വിത ശ്രീയാ വിഭൂത്യാഭിജാനേന വിദ്യയാ ത്യാഗേന രൂപേണ ബലേന കർമ്മണ ജാതസ്മയേനാധതിയ സഹേശ്വരാൻ സതോ മമന്യന്തി ഹരിപ്രിയാൻ ഖല സർവേഷു ശശ്വന്തനുമൃപുത്സവസ്ഥിതം യഥാഘമാത്മാനമഭീഷ്ടമീശ്വരം വേദോപഗീതം ചെന്ന ശൃണുതേ ഭുത മനോരഥാനാം പ്രവദന്തി വാർത്തയ ലോകേ വ്യവായാമിഷമദ്യ സേവ നിത്യാസ്തു ജന്തോർണ ഹിതത്ര ചോദന വ്യവസ്ഥേഷു വിവാഹയജ്ഞ സുരാഗ്രഹൈരാസ്തു നിവൃത്തിരിഷ്ട ധനഞ്ജ ധർമ്മൈകബലം യഥോ വൈജ്ഞാനം സവിജ്ഞാനമനുപ്രശാന്തി ഗൃഹേഷു യുഞ്ചന്തി കളേബരസ്യ മൃത്യു ന പശ്യന്തി ദുരന്തവീര്യം യൽ ഘ്രാണപക്ഷോ വിഹിത സുരായം സദാ പശോരാലഭനം നഹിംസ ഏവം വ്യവായ പ്രജയാ നരത്യ ഇമം വിശുദ്ധം നു വിദ സ്വധർമ്മം ഏ ത്വനേവം വിദോ സന്ദാ സ്തബ്ദ സദ്ഭിമാനിനാം പശൂന് ദ്രുഹ്യന്തി വിശ്രബ്ദ പ്രേത്യ ഘാതന്തിദേ ചദാൻ ദുഷന്ത പരകായേഷു സ്വാത്മാനം ഹരിമീശ്വരം മൃതയേ സാനുബന്ധേസ്മിൻ ബദ്ധ സ്നേഹ പതന്ത്യത യേ കൈവല്യം സമ്പ്രാപ്തയേ ജാതിഥാശ്ചമൂഢതാം ത്രൈവർഗികാക്ഷണിക ആത്മാനം ഘാതയന്തിതേ ഏത ആത്മന്യോശാന്താജ്ഞാനയജ്ഞാനമാനിന സീതന്ധകൃതകൃത്യ വൈ കാലധ്വസ്ത മനോരഥ ഹിത്വാത്യായാസരജ ഹൃദാപത്യസുഖശ്രിയ തമോ വിശന്തനി ചന്ദ്രവാസുദേവ പരാമുഖ രാജോവാച കസ്മിൻ കാലേ സഭഗവാൻ കിംബർണ കിദൃശോ നൃഭീ നാം നാവാഹ്യന വിദിനാ പൂജ്യതേ ദതിഹോച്യതാം കരഭാചനുവാച കൃതം ത്രൈതാദ്വാപരം ച കലിരിത്യേഷു കേശവ നാനാവർണ വിധാകാരോ നാനേവ വിധിനേച്യതെ കൃതേ ശുക്ല ചതുർബാഹു ജൈലോവൽക്കലാംബര കൃഷ്ണാജിനോപവിദാക്ഷൻ ബിരുബ്രദ്ദണ്ഡകമണ്ഡലു മനുഷ്യാസ്തദാശാന്ത നിർവൈരാസുകൃത സമ യജന്തിപസാദേവം ശമേന ചതമേന ച ഹംസസുവർണ വൈകുണ്ടോ ധർമ്മോ യോഗേശ്വരോ മല ഈശ്വരപുരുഷോ വ്യക്ത പരമാത്മേതി ഗീയതേ ത്രൈതായം വ്യക്തവർണോസോ ചതുർബാഹു ശ്രമേഖല ഹിരണ്യയശസ്ത്രയാത്മാ സുഖസുവാദ്യുപലക്ഷണ തം തഥാ മനുജാദേവം സർവദേവമയം ഹരിം യജന്തി വിദ്യയാത്രയ ധർമ്മിഷ്ഠാ ബ്രഹ്മവാദിന വിഷ്ണു യജ്ഞ വൃഷികർമ്മ സർവദേവ ഉരുക്രമ വൃഷാ കപിൽ ജയന്തശ്ച ഉരുഗായം ധീര്യതേ ദ്വാപരെ ഭഗവത്ശ്യാമ പിതവാസാ നിജായുധ ശ്രീവത്സാദിബിലശിംഗേശ്ച ലക്ഷണ ഇരുപലക്ഷിത തം തഥാ പുരുഷം മത്യ മഹാരാജോപലക്ഷണം യജന്തി വേതന്ത്രാഭ്യാംബരം ജിജ്ഞാസോ നൃപ നമസ്തേ വാസുദേവായ ഉപസംഘർഷനായ ച പ്രദ്യുമ്നായ അനിരുദ്ധായ ദുഭ്യം ഭഗവതേ നമ നാരായണായ ക്ഷേയ പുരുഷായ മഹാത്മനെ വിശ്വേശ്വരായ വിശ്വായ സർവഭൂതാത്മനെ നമ ഇതി ദ്വാപരം ഉർവീശാസ്തു വന്ദി ജഗദീശ്വരം നാനാതന്ത്രവിധാനേന കലാഭിയതാശ്രണം കൃഷ്ണവർണം ദുഷാകൃഷ്ണം സാംഗോപാംഗാസ്ത്രഭാഷണം യജ്ഞൈ സങ്കീർത്തനപ്രായേർയജന്തി സുമേധസ ധ്യേയം സദാ പരിഭവഗ്നമഭീഷ്ടദോഹം തീർത്ഥാസ്പദം ശിവവിരഞ്ജനദം ശരണ്യം പ്രത്യാർത്ഥിഹം പ്രണതബാലഭവാബ്ധിബോധം വന്ദേ മഹാപുരുഷദേ ചരണാരവിന്ദം തിക്ത്വാ സുദുസ്ത്രിജ സുരേപ്സിതരാജലക്ഷ്മീം ധർമ്മിഷ്ടമാരുവജസായതകാദരണ്യം മായാമൃഗം ദേദയേപ്സിതമന്യധാവൽ വന്ദേ മഹാപുരുഷദേ ചരണാരവിന്ദം ഏവം യുഗാനുരൂപാവ്യം ഭഗവാൻ യുഗവർത്തി മനുരേ മനുജേരിജിതയാജൻ ശ്രേയസാമീശ്വരോ ഹരി കലിൻ സഭാജയന്ത്യാര്യം ഗുണജ്ഞാസാരഭാഗിനാം യത്ര സങ്കീർത്തനൈവ സർവസ്വാത്വമി ലഭ്യത നഹ്യ പരമോലാഭോ ദേഹിനാം ബ്രാഹ്മ്യതാമിഹ യദോ വിന്ദേതപരമാം ശാന്തിം നശ്യതി സംസ്രതി കൃതാദിഷു പ്രജാരാജൻ കലാവിച്ഛന്തി സംഭവം കലൗഖല ഭവിഷ്യന്തി നാരായണപരായണ കുചിൽ കുചിൻ മഹാരാജ ദ്രവിഡേഷു ഭൂരിശ താമ്രവർണി നദീ യത്ര കൃതമാലാഭയസ്വിനി കാവേരിജ മഹാപുണ്യ പ്രതിജീജ മഹാനദി ഏ പിബന്ധി ജലം ദാസാം മനുജാമനുജേശ്വര പ്രായോ ഭക്ത ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവേ അമലാശയാം ദേവർഷി ഉദാത്തർണം വിതരണം നഗീങ്കരോ നായ മണീജരാജൻ സർവാത്മനായ ശരണം ശരണ്യം ഗതോ മുകുന്ദം പരിഹൃത്യകൃത്തം സുപാദമൂലം ഭജനം പ്രിയ സത്യക്താനുഭാവസ് പരിപരേഷ വികർമ്മയച്ഛോത്പദ്യം കഥഞ്ചിൽ ദുനോതി സർവം ഹൃദി സന്നിവിഷ്ട നാരദവാച ധർമാൻ ഭാഗവതാനത്തം ശ്രുത്വാദമിതിലേശ്വര ജായന്തയാൻ മുനീൻ പ്രീത സോപാധ്യായോഹ്യ പൂജയൽ തഥോ അന്തർദിരേ സിദ്ധ സർവലോകസ്യ പശ്യത രാജാ ധർമാനുപാതിഷന്നവാച പരമാം ഗതിം തോമപ്യതാൻ മഹാഭാഗധർമാൻ ഭാഗവതാ ശ്രുതാൻ ആസ്ഥിത ശ്രദ്ധയായുക്തോ നിസ്സംഗോ യാസ്യസേ പരം ഇവയോ ഖലു ദമ്പത്യോ യശസാ പൂരിതം ജഗൽ പുത്രതാമകമദ്യദ്വാം ഭഗവാൻ ഈശ്വരോ ഹരി ദശനാലിംഗനാലാപേശാനാസന ഭോജനേ ആത്മാവംബാവിത കൃഷ്ണേ പുത്രസ്നേഹോം പ്രകുർവതോ വൈരേണയം മൃപദേ ശിശുപാലമൗണ്ടം സാല്വാദയോ ഗതിവിലാസ വിലോകനാദ്യൈ ധ്യായന്തമാകൃതദിയാ ശയനാസനാദോ തത്സാമ്യമാപുരനുരക്തദിയാം പുനഃക്കിം മാ ഭക്തബുദ്ധിമകൃതാ കൃഷ്ണേ സർവാത്മനീശ്വരേ മായാ മനുഷ്യഭാവേന ഗൂഢേശ്വരിയോ പരേവ്യയേ ഭൂഭാരാസുരാജന്യഹന്തവേ ഗുപ്തേ സദം അവതീർണസ്യ നിർവൃത്തേശോ ലോകോ വിധന്യതേ ശ്രീ ശുഭവാച ഏതശുക്വാ മഹാഭാഗോ വസുദേവോദി വിസ്മിത ദേവകീച മഹാഭാഗ ജഹുദുർമോഹമാൽപന ഇതിഹാസമം പുണ്യം ധാരയേദ്യ സമാഹിത സവിധൂയഹ ശമലം ബ്രഹ്മഭൂയായ കൽപ്പതേ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമംസ്യം സംഹിതായാം ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ദേ പഞ്ചമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So we will continue that discussion on next Saturday of these two chapters which we have read now, and we will have some kirtan before we stop. Jayam Shupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotra Shada Shri Shivan Abhay Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Nityalila Pravishta Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാനന്ദ സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് രാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീഹരദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് സ്വയം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് റായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദ ായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ ജയ.